This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life? Make me look like a friggin' idiot?
Paul Perillo.
I see you're drinking 1%. Is that because you think you're fat?
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you going to eat your tots?
Andy Hart.
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today.
Eric Scalavino.
Aren't you pretty good at drawing, like, animals and warriors and stuff?
Yes. Probably the best that I know of.
For now, anyway.
It took me like 3 hours to finish the shading on your upper lip. It's probably the best drawing I've ever done.
FNG, Mike Parenti.
Hey, is that a new kid or something? How long did it take you to grow that mustache?
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Can you bring me my chapstick? My lips hurt real bad.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Back in 82. I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? A coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions. I'd have gone pro, you know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Parenti, your guest host for PFW in Progress, sitting alongside Andy Hart, stuffing his face with pepperoni pizza, and Paul Perillo with, surprise, surprise, a Diet Pepsi.
One of the very few left in the building.
One of the very few cold ones left in the building because our cooler crapped the bed recently. But that's okay. That's not the story today. We've got a lot to talk about. It is Wednesday before the biggest stretch of the season. Three consecutive division games against AFC East rivals, Buffalo, the New York Jets, and the Miami Dolphins. I'm looking forward to this one on Sunday. I'm not sure about you guys.
No, I am too.
I think this is what football is all about.
Sunday 1 o'clock games I look forward to, but this one in particular I think is an intriguing matchup.
Yeah, and also because the Giants are the night game, so I may actually get to catch some of that, so I'm a little bit excited in that regard as well. But this is, like I said, what football is all about. Three consecutive games, a three-way tie in the division. I think before Thanksgiving, you're going to have a pretty good idea of who's going to come out on top of the AFC East.
Or you might not. You might have mass confusion.
Yeah. If it turns out that they just all kind of beat each other up, then you're just going to end up chopping games off the schedule. I think the game is biggest for the Buffalo Bills. And the reason I say that is because they've lost two in the division in a row heading into the game. They can't afford to go 0-3 in the division.
And they're still trying to establish themselves.
Right. So this game is big for Buffalo. It's a bad spot for Buffalo.
Yeah, they've lost 3 out of 4 overall coming into this game. They're starting to come down to earth a little bit, I think. Some of these Cinderella stories turning back into pumpkins. And Edwards is starting to struggle a little bit with his poise in the pocket, and his fourth quarter magic seems to have run dry. But, again, they're still 5-3, and they're still a tie. And meanwhile, the Jets and Dolphins have won 2 in a row. The Dolphins are now 4-4. So for a last-place team, they're only a game back of everybody, so they have a chance to do some damage as well. And if you look at their schedule, and I don't remember it off the top of my head, but it's not that strong.
I can effort that for you.
It's not that strong going forward for Miami.
Well, that's the key.
Because they play in the NFL.
Exactly.
They play in not only the NFL, but the AFC East, which has the easiest schedules in football. And here's Miami's slate coming up. They host Seattle and then Oakland. Two games that, you know, they should probably win.
Yeah.
Then they have a big tilt with the Patriots in the third straight home game. You know, if they're 6-4 going into that Patriots game, you know, there's a good chance that they're going to have a stake at the first place for that game. Then they go to St. Louis, they go to Buffalo, they host San Francisco, they go to Kansas City, and then they go to the Jets to close it out. So all of their non-division games remaining are very, very winnable. Seattle, Oakland, St. Louis, San Francisco, Kansas City.
And the Patriots could very well be
6-4 as well on the road
going into that game if they split one of these two. And I'm not sure who they have a better chance to lose to. My guess would probably be Buffalo this weekend. I'm not sure the Jets could come in here and win this game. I know they've done it in the past, and they certainly have a history of coming here and playing close, competitive games. But Brett Favre leads the league in interceptions going into this weekend with 12, and he's been a little bit of a loose cannon back there. And you never know when he's going to just chuck one up, and it floats and wobbles, and it lands in somebody's arms, and it's run back 40 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah. Also
he makes game-changing plays for the other side.
Passes against a bad Patriots secondary.
Yeah, I mean, he had how many against Arizona?
6.
Yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal. It's a career high for a guy who's at the tail end of his career.
He just went over, what, 300 for his career?
300 interceptions. Yeah. He threw 6 touchdowns against Arizona.
No, I know, but 300 interceptions.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's
But to speak on that secondary, the Pats do have some help coming in now with Jason Webster added to the active roster today.
And probably throw that Sean Crable out there for everybody.
Sean Crable put on IR, which is no surprise. We had kind of mentioned him as a candidate.
Stunner with a leg injury? Never.
Right.
Never saw that coming. Twiggy.
Chicken legs broke in half.
Tell him to hit the leg sled.
Pulling a chicken bone after eating a rotisserie chicken.
Some squats. I want a noticeable difference in his lower body.
But you don't work your legs yourself, so who are you to talk?
I don't play in the National Football League and make my living as an edge rusher trying to go
You're a meathead aficionado. I figured you'd do some leg squats.
First of all, I haven't worked
while.
Out since. I've been running at the away games.
And he's a big runner now. A little disappointed. I needed a gun sculpting partner.
There were 35-pound dumbbells there. What was I going to do with those?
I know. That's why I stayed in the hotel. And we got walked in on by two prostitutes.
Right.
So it happens.
I got in a 5-mile run and then got walked in on by two prostitutes.
And two maids, who might have been prostitutes as well. We don't know. But anyway, Jason Webster back after getting released in camp, and here's a guy who didn't get on the field much and subsequently could not make the club from the tub. And here he is back again. It kind of tells you what they think of Fernando Bryant, who's a free agent and was plenty available. And here's a guy who actually played in preseason, and he's still jobless, and they'd rather bring back Webster. So I think it says a little bit about what they think of Webster's ability in this system and how he can contribute.
Sure. But there's also the question of, can he stay healthy? Because every time he goes on a football field, he tends to get hurt.
Yes, and my guess would probably be no. I would just play the percentages and think he's going to come up with something at some point.
I will say that Terrence Wheatley walked through the locker room today with no noticeable. Oh, I didn't see anything, Paul.
Just his hand stuffed in his pocket.
His left hand was in his sweat jacket pocket the entire time he was in the locker
room.
Oh, not when I saw him.
Oh, well, you must have missed something because I saw it too.
Pretty sure he was holding his iPod with it.
Yes, in his pocket.
I didn't.
That's
I watched
other
him,
left hand.
I
he
watched
his
him
iPod
for, a good,
his right
for a good amount of time, and he never took that hand out of the pocket.
Yeah,
maybe
Paul's right.
Maybe you saw him.
I thought I saw him holding his iPod with it, which certainly doesn't mean he's ready to go play football if he can hold his iPod. But
he can't actually change the songs. His hand's so busted.
Clearly, he's not going on IR, because if he was going on IR, they would replace a cornerback with a cornerback. So,
any interest in D'Angelo Hall, who could be released today by the Raiders?
I would.
Me too.
I mean,
the price tag may be a little high.
I think he's a guy that's going to be paid for somebody else. I think this is a perfect situation for him. He's basically getting paid by the Raiders, whatever the $8 million is they gave him. He comes in here, could help revitalize a secondary, you know, be the savior in the secondary for a team that's going to be a playoff contender. And you sign a one-year deal, and then he can go out on the free agent market and maybe revive his career next year. I think it's one of those perfect Bill signings. It's a guy
maybe
looking
you're right.
to
I didn't realize.
Contract year type guy.
Now, the Raiders get out on not having to pay those injury guarantees by doing this now, correct?
Oh, I don't know.
They were supposedly to owe him a lot of money, and I think they want to skip out on that, and they don't take a big,
but
big
I know
cap
that,
hit
I
doing
mean,
this.
They're already paying him.
But they also did invest a second-round pick in him, sending
fifth,
that to Atlanta.
Right?
I think you're right, yeah.
So
it's a big move.
But I just find it hard to believe that he's gone from being a Pro Bowl caliber corner to isn't worthy of being in the National Football League or isn't worthy of being
on
Jason
the worst
Webster
team in football. Right.
on the secondary that's, you know, banged up week to week with new faces out there. So, I mean, I would make a run at it. I mean, I don't know what all his baggage is.
Well, he has some incident with pit bulls and maiming people, and you know, there's been
I
a
want
few
no
stories
part
like that in the league.
To be honest with you, I mean, I don't. I think everything you guys just said is 100% accurate, but I think his skills obviously have diminished. I don't think it's worth it. I don't think he's a good enough player to put up with the baggage that comes with him. Again, like you, I agree with everything you guys said. The money is probably he's going to. If you sign him now, you're going to sign him for the minimum. So the money's not a factor. He's getting $8 million to play 8 games for the Raiders. But to me, watching him play a little bit in Oakland, he can't play.
I guess the price tag comes when I say there's baggage and there's also the skill factor, not necessarily the money that you'd be having to pay him. I'm surprised they didn't wait maybe a day for the Crable transaction and just to see if he does get released.
There he is.
And maybe give it a flyer. Hey, here's our host. He's back again. I can shut up now and eat. Wow. Hi, Freddie.
It doesn't look like he's ready to contribute, so we should probably keep talking.
No, it was a lot of I think the Hall thing is interesting, and you know, predictably we got besieged with emails as soon as the word got out.
I wouldn't
there.
Know. I don't have a laptop.
but I don't. I mean, Oakland. I understand that it's a dysfunctional franchise right now, and they're not doing anything right. But could he be that bad? I mean, why are they not getting rid of the other guy?
Who's the other guy?
Oshawa.
Well, they're supposed to be making some wholesale changes, aren't they? They're supposed to cut a lot of guys in the next couple of days.
He's going to be a free agent.
No, I know, but they've butted heads with Hall.
But he can play. That's why they want him. I think Hall can't play.
Oh, see, I think it's because he's more trouble than he's worth at this point for them. They have no chance to do anything.
I agree.
He's a headache. You have no reason to deal with a headache.
I think he is more trouble than he's worth. I don't think he's that good a player, so he's not worth the trouble.
Well, they've dealt with headaches here in the past.
But, yeah, that'd be my point. I think the Patriots would be more willing to deal with whatever it is because they need him and they can win. The Raiders have there's no light at the end of that tunnel for this year or maybe the next year, whatever. So, and I feel like, and I don't know where I got this from, but I feel like Bill has talked about Hall in the past and said that he liked him. And I don't mean as a player. I mean, I feel like he made a comparison to Chad Johnson. And I don't know where I'm pulling this from, but just immature guys who they have fun playing football, but sometimes they do things and say things that are...
Yeah, Bill gets a kick out of Chad Johnson.
Yeah, and I
feel like...
They actually
went back and forth that one time before the game.
I just think Chad Johnson's a much better player, that's all.
I haven't seen D'Angelo Hall play,
but
so
that's
I have
like
no idea.
That's the way, you know, I started off the whole thing. I think everything both Mike and Andy, you guys said, I agree with that on surface. I think that it's not really a huge risk. You're not going to pay him
a lot
of money.
Yeah, there's no risk.
You need help in your secondary.
He's a guy you could sign for a week and say,
it's just
you're a
not
douche.
Working out. Yeah, it's not working out. See ya. There's no risk. I'm not going to sit here and say, I'm going to be adamantly opposed to them signing him.
No,
I don't think he can play. I don't think he's
something.
The answer.
He probably still thinks he's a somebody.
My guess is
really
that he's not the answer. That's all.
He's the 8th overall pick in the draft 4 years ago. I'm sure he's still
I was very
high
on the player coming out of college, no question. Yeah. I thought he was one of those special kind of franchise cornerbacks that you could sort of build a defense around, and he hasn't been that.
Hey, guys.
Hi Fred. Freddie.
How you doing?
Fantastic.
Where you been?
Well, I was doing another business deal to keep this company afloat.
I don't want to know what you had to do to keep us afloat.
No, we're just the meeting ran long.
As he wipes his chin off.
Oh.
Well, what the? Already?
Speaking of inappropriate things to say, Gary.
Yes.
My understanding is that John Rook, Mr. Professional, said the A word yesterday.
Andy.
Not Andy.
Well, he said a similar word.
That
a
really
synonym
bothers
brandy.
Me. That some ass. And I'll say it.
It's okay when Fred does it. He's an amateur at best. But John Rook is supposed to be Mr. ESPN Radio, Mr. The guy's had a million jobs, play-by-play, stadium PA.
Brian Lowe didn't know what to do.
I mean, what the
he
hell is going
does.
On out there?
Gary told him you got to go for the ratings.
I was
so
going to say, was this a stunt?
He's
is he
working
trying to be
blue.
Edgier?
He's working
sweeps
blue.
Week?
Is this sweeps week?
Yeah, I was stunned. At first, I thought he didn't think his microphone was on.
And plus, there was no reason for it. The strippers was not. I mean, they go back and forth on Oklahoma, Texas all the time. It's not like he said something about his mom.
For his boys, though, Andy.
It's not like he went over the line in terms of that. It was a little good high school. I mean, college football talk. All of a sudden, he got all personal and called him an a-hole.
Wow.
I think I have some good ideas for Sweeps Week. We could bring in like a Jerry Springer style show. Like Paul's ex-lover or something, and
well, he might have been under a little bit of stress with Texas going down.
That's
so,
what I'm saying.
You know.
I think it pushed him over the edge. Yeah. He's not very happy about it. And strippers were starting to send emails during the crossover.
Fred.
By the way,
and Gary was a
he got on him early.
You deserved the a-hole reference too. I mean, strippers can't play something on this show without your help.
Strippers emailed and asked if I could play this for him,
and you played it. So John should have called you an a-hole too.
Our listeners are very important to us.
Plus, strippers provided all the entertainment for Gary's bachelor party before
really?
He got married.
Is that accurate?
How many times has stripper bought lunch?
A lot.
111.
Oh, I'm all for it. I'm just saying you should have been called an a-hole.
Yeah, but we made his website what it is. Let's face it.
We made him.
What website?
I can't say it now because he's not buying lunch.
You want to mention? Buy some food. So. Preferably Stoneforge.
Freddie, would you take D'Angelo Hall?
You know, that's a good question. I know that's the big thing now because it seems like the Raiders are doing some type of purge over there. And I kind of agree with both you and Andy as far as Hall. I think that
playing the role of Glenn Woodward.
I think he can play. He's not that good, though, where you're going to put up with a lot of his nonsense. And
we're
I think, is there a chance that this Tom Cable guy is able to come in and say, hey, I want to make some changes. If you want me as your head coach, I'm going to start doing things my way.
I doubt Al Davis.
And Al Davis is actually allowing him to do it?
He didn't know his name.
No, I don't think this has anything to do
with
Tom Cable.
No?
I think it's what Andy said, that they're looking at it as you know, a purge of the salary. And I think, Mike, you mentioned the injuries.
Because Walker's next,
yes.
right?
Yeah. They also want to get rid of Javon Walker.
Right.
But I guess there's some
injury.
Well, they
just talked into not retiring. Good call there.
There was some injury incentive built into his contract. And
they would have owed him some
big
money.
If he stays healthy in the last 8 games, they're going to owe him a lot more money than just the $8 million they already have to pay
him. So rather than wait for you to get hurt, we'll just cut you.
So
smart move to me.
And have to play the role of Fred and root for him to get hurt.
Exactly.
So would I sign D'Angelo Hall?
7 years, $70 million they signed him.
After an extensive background and psychological test, if that came out okay, I would.
Jabril Wilson, holy crap.
I would just sign him, and you're on a zero-tolerance policy for anything. If one player says they don't like what you looked at them in the locker room, you're cut.
I do a little due diligence before I brought him into the locker room.
You know they signed Jason Webster, right?
I heard that, and they put Sean Crable on IR.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Twiggy.
So, but they obviously need it. I think, the injury report comes out at the end of today, the first one. But I think Terrence Wheatley won't be participating. And I think that's why they probably signed Webster.
I think if they didn't need so much help in the secondary, we could have seen Vincent Redd called up or activated.
And you could see him activated any time. If you get later in a week and a DB is healthier than you thought he was, Jason Webster gets cut and Vince Redd gets
activated. At this moment, they needed help more in the defense.
I wonder how valuable they deem Eric Alexander. I mean, he's been inactive with various injuries for, 9 games?
Right.
How many
special
games
Special teams
play?
Thing, I guess.
5-3. 7 games? How many games? He played one game,
changed.
Right?
And his injuries changed mid-year. He's been hurt with 2 different injuries throughout the season. And
they're hurt rehabbing.
Does he really provide that much?
Well, that's what I'm saying. How much value they must perceive in him.
It's because the kicking game is important, Paul.
But he doesn't participate in it.
I didn't think he was on
and
a
And that's what you want.
Camp.
You want Ellis Hobbs to not participate in the kicking game.
Oh, we're back to this again, aren't we?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Fred.
Yeah.
Don't you usually tease the show? It wasn't on last night.
Well, the naked show.
I gave you the disc you saw, right?
Oh, is this it right here? Yeah. Good. Great.
Grant.
What should I say about it? It'll
that
be up
on tonight,
right?
On Neckin,
yes.
11 o'clock. It wasn't on last night due to election coverage.
Obviously,
it'll also
Fred
be posted on Patriots.com.
Right.
Tomorrow morning, right?
Well, now you don't
That's
have to
right.
say it because Andy just said
What
it
should I say
you.
About it?
Yes, the Neckin show will be on tonight, 11 o'clock, Neckin. Is that on satellite? If people have dishes, can they get Neckin?
I have no idea.
I don't think
I don't think so.
No, it's not a national station.
You know?
Partially owned by Comcast, isn't it?
Well, if you have the dish, like my father has a dish,
only
and he only
Comcast.
Gets the local Rhode Island station, so he can't get it anyway, which is fine because I'm not on it anyway.
So, but tomorrow morning we'll have it up on the
pitch.
Website.
I was going to say a little bit of...
Is there anything special about the show that you wanted to point out?
You had a strong show.
I had a strong
show. You had a lot of lines you wanted to work in, and you worked them in.
A lot of chest hair, too.
Talking about the stock market going down, something else... About how you liked the direction the country was taking.
Chris Collins specifically pointed you out at the end of the show.
Although, to be fair, at one point I looked on the screen, and only half of you was on the screen. You were out of frame.
That's not my problem. They need to follow me. I don't need to follow.
It kind of is, because you do that thing where you lean way off to the side.
I agree with Fred.
And they're trying to squeeze 4 guys on a show.
I agree with Fred. It's not his problem.
Well, then take me off. I don't care.
To pick the camera angles right.
That would crush you.
This is unbelievable. We have one guy openly lobbying to get on the show, another guy openly
lobbying to get Mike, you want to get on the show?
I would like to someday, sure.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
Well, maybe someday you will.
You don't shine shoes no more.
I don't shine shoes no more. Maybe you haven't heard, Fred.
You know, but you'd have to, like, sort of be a little bit more up.
Can you take my place next year?
You can't be Debbie Downer on the show.
I've done some TV.
You know, people, it's not a funeral home show. It's a show for football.
I've done some TV, says Mike.
Where's that?
Ed Berliner.
Cox.
Ed Berliner. We've all done Ed.
Ron Burgundy.
Where else would a nobody get on TV?
Patriots Football Weekly, you've been told.
Patriots Football Weekly is another place where nobody's get on TV.
Well, the thing is, you know, I feel like is Eric in today, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I did see him. I talked to him this morning. I feel like a little bit we're kind of leapfrogging him on a lot of this stuff, you know, because you went right to BCN.
It is what it is.
You're now a regular.
You're the
BCN.
Boss, Fred, and I think you made an executive decision that I would happen to wholeheartedly.
Hey, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't.
I'm just happy to help the team any way I can.
And how about Andy Katz?
I have no formal artistic training.
Andy Katz played basketball with Barack Obama?
Obama
is Andy Katz?
He's a reporter for ESPN.
College basketball.
Has a lot of college basketball stuff. Long story short, he did a piece on Barack Obama's brother-in-law. I think his name is Craig Robinson.
Oh, that was a while ago, though,
yes.
Right? Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
When he did that piece.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, he's a legal citizen, right? The brother-in-law? Not like
well,
some as far
as I know.
Barack.
As far as I know. But you know what?
I'm
going to take a step.
Can we just hold off on that?
I'm going to take a step back.
Really?
I'm going to take a step back and say.
Oh, victory day. We got to be nice.
Listen, he won, and I fully support the commander-in-chief of our country.
Yeah, I agree. I do, too.
So no one's going to call me a poor loser like I normally am. In this particular case, this is too important.
But you'll be poor.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm already looking into offshore accounts.
You mean like the people who never supported Bush for 4 years?
I'm trying to set up an offshore bank account. Anybody know anything about that?
Fred
because I'm really, really concerned. But anyway, Katz did a piece on Obama's brother-in-law, who's the head basketball coach at Oregon State, Fred here. And while doing that, Obama had talked about on Election Day, he planned on having his normal pickup basketball game. So he did it. And they told Katz at the time he was invited. Katz didn't really think anything of it. He thought they were being nice, figured, I'm not going to look into this or anything. But a week and a half ago, Katz gets an email saying, your spot is here if you want it. Of course, he jumped at the chance, and he played basketball with Barack Obama yesterday, which, in my opinion, is one of the coolest things I've ever heard.
Why do you not think much of it beforehand?
I think
it's
he
like
felt they were just
being...
It's like
not going to Belichick when you're invited.
Well, that... But you know,
seriously, it's
but
the same thing.
Here's the thing: is if someone told you 6 months ago, "Hey, in 6 months we'll have dinner together if we're out in California," you might say, "Well, that was awfully nice, and I would like to do that." But
and oh,
just,
by the way,
they
dinner
just
the
be
night
nice.
Before the Super Bowl when we're in California.
They would just be nice.
I mean,
you
this
know?
Is the,
yeah,
the night of
exactly.
I think he did know what day it was going to be.
No, I know, but there's the difference between saying it at one point and then the day gets there and all the
Andy Katz, I'm sure, just thought they were being cordial and. Didn't really think anything of it. They'll forget about
hole.
Who am I? I'm just some guy doing a story on them for ESPN. They don't think anything
Fred,
of
what
it.
What does that sound like?
But he ended up doing it. That's pretty cool, I think.
Well, I mean, those little things, you know, you talk about like CEOs who they meet someone and they remember their name. And, you know, that's kind of a gift, you know,
yeah,
and that
absolutely.
Type of organization. You know, personal notes. Those things go a long way. Those little touches.
We've talked about a million times with the players here.
Yeah.
If they remember us, we're like in their back pocket.
There's no secret if you listen to the 8 or 10 guys that I always tell you are my favorite guys.
I said that,
there's a common denominator. Whatever.
They know your name.
Right.
Bill knows my name, but I still have criticized him a time or two.
You know. So no, that's cool, and you know, it's great.
By the way, Bill's excellent at that.
Yeah,
he remembers everybody's name.
And he does a lot of things behind the scenes that people don't hear about it that, you know, affect individuals, you know, in a nice way.
I don't think we're thinking about the same thing. But.
Anyway, all right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Did you guys talk about press conferences or locker room access
Not yet.
So what happened today?
There was a press conference and there was locker room access.
That's the kind of insight we're looking for here on PFW.
Well, you know, Bill talked a little bit about the Bills kicking game, which is always a topic of discussion every time Buffalo's in town or vice versa. They've been one of the best in the league for a number of years. I've got some other notes if I can get to that page.
While you're looking for that page, can I throw a question out there for you guys?
Yeah.
I thought I heard that a report, I thought it was an AP report, that Dante Whitner was not playing.
He's not.
He's not, right? Shoulder.
So why was he asked if he ever comes off the field? And I was thinking, yes, when he blew his shoulder out.
And Bill said that, too. Bill said no. The only time he came off was last week when
late,
he left the game.
Late in the game.
It had the potential to be a funny, sarcastic answer.
Yeah, I was waiting for him to say, well, it doesn't look like he's going to play.
Like the idiotic time a few years ago when he asked about Patrick Surtain when he was clearly not playing. And Bill's like, well, he's not playing.
Well, how about the time when Felger asked him about Chris Perry? From Cincinnati?
You mean Tab?
Oh, yeah. He was inactive. He was on PUP.
Right. Is it possible to have a collapsed lung and then have it not collapse?
But, yeah, that was Whitner's a good player, but it's very fortunate for the Patriots. He's not playing. So.
Well, also, Aaron Schobel looks like he's out for a few games and maybe the season.
They're saying, he may be done for the year with that leg injury.
He's been out for a while, but Whitner is a bigger injury right now because, and Bill talked about it at length today, and it was something that I had read last week. They've used him in a variety of different roles, depending on their personnel packages. And I would imagine they don't have a lot of guys that can fill all those different spots.
It's like a Tank Williams kind of guy.
And McKelvin is
hybrid linebacker.
McKelvin has barely played on defense at all. He's been a pretty good returner for them, but he's barely played on defense. Their fourth-round pick is, ironically, cornerback Reggie Corner, has also seen very little time on defense. They've had Simpson and Whitner at safety, and they've worked, I think, Jabari Greer and Terrence McGee at corner. McGee's been hurt, And that kind of set off this domino effect when they've been in sub
packages.
And that
affects the special teams, too.
Yeah. When they've been in sub packages, they've put Whitner as a corner at times. And Bill even said today that they have a big nickel where the three safeties with, I forget the guy's name, Scott, I think it's. Is his last name. Brian Scott, I want to say, fills in as one of the safeties, and they put Whitner on tight ends in dime packages. So they do a lot of things with Dante Whitner that I would imagine, if he can't play, other guys aren't just going to be able to plug in and say, okay, we did this with Whitner, so now this guy is going to have to do the same things.
Yeah, you're replacing three positions.
How's their health up the middle? Because one of their strengths so far in defense has been, you know, stopping the run up the middle with this Paul Polsnewski guy.
Kind of what Bill said.
Let me ask you this. Do you think, and I know it's not because I'm there every day when he can't pronounce a guy's name. Do you think that could be perceived as being disrespectful?
For a guy that gets everybody right?
Yes.
But I'm not
sure. I know it's not disrespectful because I see it when it happens, and I know he knows the guy who he's talking about, and he thinks of that guy in positive terms, but the fact that he can't say the name.
I think some people will look at it that way.
It's not like it happens once. It happens pretty much every week.
The guy last week, what's his name?
Yeah, but it's always a legitimate name.
No, not from Indy. What's his name? From
St. Louis?
Yeah. Crazy name, begins with an O.
Yeah. Well, that guy. I mean,
that guy.
There's always
OJ Otugwe.
He never does it with a name that's simple to pronounce. He always, there's a reason.
Well, I don't think Puzlesny is anything too difficult.
Puzlesny.
But he does it on purpose. He's a caricature of himself.
Right. Big cartoon.
Paul Paluka.
Bill also mentioned Nick Cazier's performance from Sunday and said conditioning wasn't an issue, and mentioned how that even when he was hurt and couldn't do a lot of running, he still maintained some cardiovascular exercise during the process. So felt that his conditioning was up to par for his first game back.
And he
didn't see
a
lot of pressure from the right side, so you assume he played pretty well.
Well, they had some help from the tight ends, but yeah, I think overall blocking was not an issue.
No,
and Andy brought up a good point about the offensive line. That's the first time that group has been together since the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I think it shows. I think Stephen Neal really is. You know, Logan Mankins technically might be the best, you know, lineman on that group, but I think that Neal's the best athlete.
Well, Bill has said that Neal, when healthy, is every bit as good as Mankins.
Yeah,
I agree.
So, I mean, those two guys at guard, really, that stabilizes it.
I'm not sold on Cazier, but...
No, I'm not either. But I think in the middle there, between Copen, Neal, and Mankins, you're really solid in the middle there.
Mm-hmm. You know, now we know they have something with LaVor, too, as a backup.
Yeah.
If Cazier craps out again. So, you have some options.
So, things will look... I mean, that's why I was excited.
You're positive, Fred.
No, that's why I feel good about the loss, if that's possible. I really do.
I always feel good about everything.
You know, other than that defensive backfield, which is huge in this league, I mean, but a lot of teams are dealing with that same thing.
I think if they had a four-game lead in the division, I'd say it's okay.
Yeah, but depth in defensive secondary is, I think, an issue for, you know, most teams. 31 out of, you know.
Well, there's also fatal flaw is also an issue for most teams. Pretty much any team you throw out there
has
one
something.
Area of their game is not just average, below average to bad.
Right.
And so if you say the Patriots' biggest weakness is their secondary, well, that makes them one of 29 other teams.
How good are the good things, you know, to make up for that?
Well, you could throw their red zone offense into that mix, too.
Yep.
Yeah, but to me, that's a... I'm talking about more personnel-wise. I think
you're
every team in the league
facet of
has
the game, not a
bad personnel in some areas.
I think that that's going to improve. I think that really is Castle right
the
now.
The red zone?
Yeah, the red zone offense. I think that's really on Castle because with this personnel, they have done well in the red zone. So, you know, obviously the difference is Castle and Brady.
Well, also the running game. I mean,
I was going to say
they could get a little help from having a real running back, and because they've run some plays on early downs
in
the red zone that haven't worked.
Yeah, and I think the reason for that is pretty.
They're not worried about Castle.
Easy to figure out.
Yeah.
No, but my point is, if you have a real running back there, not Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, who I know everybody wants to put in the Pro Bowl, but
that's
maybe
fair.
Lamont Jordan gets 5 yards on first down, and it's different, or 6 yards,
then
it might be different. And I know Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis has done a good job on the goal line, but I'm talking about
or maybe you
some
just
plays
throw.
Out in the...
Yeah, no. I'm thinking teams are looking at, and I agree with Andy, I think obviously the running back is a big part of it, but I think that Fred's point is well taken in that teams are going to attack you and say, no matter what we do, we can't let them run it in. And if Castle's not able to exploit that, or if the coaches don't give him the opportunities, enough opportunities to exploit that, then I think you run into
trouble.
Yeah,
most teams, if they know what you're going to do or they think they know what you're going to do and they line up that way, they're going to stop you. You know,
well, but they've scored red zone touchdowns on the ground. They haven't scored any through the air.
The idea is to keep them guessing so that, you know, they can't stack it up on you. And you know, so, you know, we'll see.
Well, then as time goes on and those running plays in the red zone continue to go for no yards, then they're going to have to do something.
I mean,
different.
If Castle shows the same improvement in that one facet as he's shown in a lot of the others, I think we're going to be okay. I think we're going to be okay.
What's your solution for the secondary?
Well, my solution for the secondary is hope that the teams that they're playing aren't that great. And right now,
that sounds like a solid plan.
Well, right now, but I think
doesn't matter how good the other team's passing game is.
Well, I think
they're going to struggle.
The Patriots.
Yeah.
Well, I think though with the Bills, I think you can get by the Jets, and I think you can get by the Dolphins if you play good.
But all
defense.
Those teams have NFL quarterbacks and NFL receivers.
No, I know.
So just hoping that they aren't good is not really a
well.
Good
when
idea.
I
then
say
you get
not
Pittsburgh, you get Arizona with Kurt Warner later in the year. You get Buffalo again.
Yeah. I agree with Paul. Pretty much anybody on your schedule is going to have a guy who's capable of throwing and a guy who's capable of catching.
I saw the St. Louis Rams play Arizona last week, and they looked like they couldn't get a first down. They couldn't throw the ball from here to there. And the Patriots spent three quarters running around chasing guys around and having no clue.
And I also saw the Patriots play Peyton Manning and only give up 18 points. So,
he also forced five incompletions.
It doesn't matter. The points on the board is what matters.
And the other team had more at the end of the game.
I know, but if
and
if,
when,
but it was
play,
a good
but,
loss.
But at any other time, if you say you're going to play the Colts and only give up 18 points, I'm like, good, let's go for
when
it.
When plays needed to be made in the red zone, the other team's quarterback made two.
I understand, but that
you can't put that
on the defense.
Of course you can.
No,
you can, red zone defense.
18 points. I'll take that any day against the Colts. I'll take it.
Except for Sunday.
How come?
You only scored 15.
Can I ask you a question in all seriousness? How come when the Patriots win games 17-14, as they have many, many times in the past, it wasn't the other team playing good defense, was the Patriots making enough plays to win?
Look, if that team that we just beat 17-14 refuses to say the problem was their defense, I'll probably agree with that.
I don't know what he just said.
You know, if we had just beaten the Colts 17-14, I don't think the Colts fans are blaming their defense because of that loss.
Well, it depends on how the game unfolds. Right.
Look, 17 points, Paul. I don't care.
Okay, so you're just going bottom line. Okay,
bottom line.
As long as I know what the rules are, now I'll know how to.
You should be able to beat a team when you only give up 17 points.
Indianapolis hasn't scored any points all year, so 18 is okay for them.
I'm just saying, when you give up 17, 18 points, you should beat them.
All I'm saying is Indianapolis moved the ball every time they had it, basically. Just like the Patriots moved the ball every time they had it.
Look, it doesn't matter. We know the bend and don't break philosophy, that whole thing. That was the whole idea, is not give up any big plays. Okay? At the end of the day, they gave up 18 points. I'll take that. I'll take it.
Okay. Well, you're missing the forest through the trees, is all I'm saying. If you're just focusing on how many points the other team had and not how they got them, you're missing the point.
Well, I mean,
that's all I'm saying.
You can get them a number of ways, but at the end of the day, isn't that all that matters? Is how many they scored?
I think
at the
larger
end of the day,
point,
all that matters is how many you scored.
Right.
Well, that's what. But when you're looking at the blame pie or whatever you want to call it,
you got to look at.
But if you're going to take such a cut and dried approach on
you gave up
18 points,
you got to look at the.
You only scored 15, so it's cut and dry. It wasn't a good loss. It was just a loss.
You got to look at the four trips into the red zone that only scored one touchdown for the Patriots
and the two for the Colts that scored two touchdowns
and a 2-point conversion.
But that's the point. They only had two.
But they only needed two because they won.
No, I think, you can say that.
But my point is, Fred, if you're going to look at other factors than just the scoreboard in a positive light and say it was a good loss to build on, then you can't just say all that matters is you got to look at the full spectrum on both sides.
I think we've been doing that.
But do you think the Colts would look at that game and say our defense was great Sunday?
I think that they'd say
their defense was abysmal Sunday. The Patriots
gave
up four
drives of over 13 yards, got no pressure.
Absolutely manhandled Indianapolis' defenses for 60 minutes. They absolutely manhandled Indianapolis. That's why I felt disappointed. I felt the Patriots should have won the game.
I think the Patriots played better, and
they dominated.
We talked about the one thing.
But bottom line for Indy's defense, they only allowed 15 points.
Right.
They played like crap, but they only allowed 15 points.
But they only allowed 15 points against this journeyman quarterback. The Patriots allowed, I said, against the Colts,
again,
I'll take 18
whose
points.
Whose offense do you think has been better, Indianapolis's or New England?
I think Indianapolis's.
Scored 152 points this year, while the Patriots have scored 168.
At the end of the season, we're going to Indianapolis is going to come around. I mean,
well, maybe they will, but they haven't through eight games.
I was going to say, we're at the halfway point.
They haven't had a running back until last week. And the Patriots stopped
games, Fred.
They haven't had a running game all season.
Exactly. Let's they averaged 70 yards a game on the ground. So last week was not an aberration
look,
for them.
I think Peyton Manning is still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I haven't.
Penis Manning?
And
he
I think
is.
Anytime
and that's why they won the
and
game.
I think anytime you're playing Peyton Manning, if you give up 18 points, that's a good thing.
Well, then six teams are feeling pretty good because they've only scored more than that twice.
So I think that Peyton Manning, you know, might be having a down year, but at any given week, he can put up numbers.
I'm telling you, the difference in the game is the quarterback made plays when he needed to. That was the difference in the game.
Well, that is the difference in the game. They have an all-pro quarterback and we don't.
So I can't feel great about the way the defense played.
Peyton Manning is going to make plays. If you're telling me that they have to shut down Peyton Manning every time he has the ball,
no,
that's impossible.
Fred, no, I'm not telling you that. I'm saying they didn't shut him down.
The difference in that game might have been Matt Cassel and Peyton Manning. I'll give you that.
Well, I don't think that was it. I just think there was a couple plays that, you know, went one way or the other. I don't think it was a Matt Cassel
difference. If Matt Cassel had made one more play in the red zone, we might have won that game.
I don't
game.
Think Matt Cassel was capable of playing any better than he played.
Well,
I can't put this loss on Matt Cassel.
Not at this point, but we all agree that red zone efficiency has to get better on offense.
Right.
If the Patriots get one more touchdown, maybe they beat the Colts, and hey, the defense did a pretty good job.
I'm just looking at it from a secondary perspective. Yes, they only allowed 18 points, but I can't get too excited about that based on the fact that Indianapolis completed every pass they attempted.
Yeah, and also, Fred, it's two issues that have been a problem all year in red zone offense and secondary play. In that game, and 8 weeks into the season, it's hard for me to look at it and say that's a good thing. If they had lost some other way, and maybe some new problem cropped up,
well, that's
that we
worse.
Seen, well, is it worse? Well, then you could say it's an aberration.
No, that's what
right?
we know.
Then you can say it's a one-time
look,
thing.
There's no doubt that this secondary is depleted. I mean, come on, you have to admit
depleted
that.
But Fred,
it wasn't
that
good.
Talented.
It wasn't good last year. Well, depleted.
The only difference.
I mean, nobody has the depth to be able to.
But Harrison's not coming back, and the guys coming back aren't that great. You know, we're anticipating the return of Lewis Sanders.
Well, that's the problem. Look, however you want to word it, I agree with you. Okay, the guys that are out there aren't that good.
But
no team has the type of depth where when you lose
Hobbs and O'Neal, those were the starters.
Well, I think Hobbs is pretty good. O'Neal is a guy that they brought in because Wheatley hadn't progressed quick enough, and Fernando Bryant never was who they thought he was going to be.
But
I mean, these are guys. O'Neal is a guy that they brought in late. You know,
and he's the starter,
cut by the Bengals.
And that, I agree with that. He's not that good.
Right. Okay. Well, that's my only point.
Yeah, the point is, it's not really.
Where is
it going to get
but
better?
But even before that happened. I mean, you guys are forgetting what we were saying when the season started. Even before that happened, we all said that the weakness on this defense is the secondary.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we hope, and maybe we think, that the front seven is going to play that well that it's going to sort of, you know, mask that deficiency. We knew that going in.
Right.
But now that secondary that we thought was going to is getting even more depleted. Of course it's going to be the weakness.
And we're not getting from the front seven
and
what
the
we
front
thought
seven
we were getting.
Had no sacks. But my argument, you just said if Matt Cassel had turned one more red zone touchdown, they win, and you say the defense didn't play that bad. I don't think so. We were talking last year when they were 16-0 that the defense wasn't good.
Right.
The secondary wasn't good.
Well, wait.
Quarterbacks like Trent Edwards were marching down the field.
I don't even think Paul ever said that. He never said that the defense wasn't good.
We talked about it on this show a number of times that the secondary could be passed on by virtually anyone.
Yeah.
Because we saw just journeyman quarterbacks
and
unproven quarterbacks
doing
it.
I think for more teams than not, that's the case in this league.
Let me ask you this too, Fred.
That may be true.
I think it's true.
The argument that the defense
I think it's true. So you have to look at how this team not matches up to the Chicago Bears of 1985, but how do they match up against 2008 NFL
But you just said if Matt Cassel had scored,
let's match up the front seven.
Overall
NFL
defensive
teams.
Or just the secondary? I don't think so.
Well, the secondary is a big part of it.
I understand that, but so is the front seven. And I think the Patriots' front seven is probably one of the best in the league.
Where do they rank against Tennessee?
Tennessee's the best defense in the league
right
now.
Those are the teams you got to beat.
Okay. And you just said we need the front seven to help the secondary, and they got no sacks.
So let's pick the best offensive team in the league and the best defensive team in the league and say the Patriots aren't as good as them. That's ridiculous.
What? Can I ask
That's
you?
It's ridiculous.
I want to
Wait
ask
a minute.
You
don't think it's fair to say that the Patriots front seven should be in the league with the Tennessee Titans?
I think they're playing pretty well. I think.
Oh, they're not in Tennessee's league right now.
Tennessee's defense overall is playing better than anyone.
Right.
But
I don't think it's ridiculous to say the Patriots should be comparable. There's a lot of talent on that front seven.
A lot
seven.
Of money and a lot of talent.
They
should be playing as well front seven-wise.
But
I'm talking D-line.
You have all-pro linemen,
all-pro
linebackers.
What about the other 30 teams in the league? What? I mean, you can go ahead and pick the best defensive team right now in the league and say, well, the Patriots aren't playing as good as the
Titans. All
that
matters is how you compare to good teams.
But no, let's compare them to all the league.
Okay, they're better than the Bengals.
I think they're better than most teams.
Giants, Eagles.
It doesn't matter because all you got to do is win most of your games.
No, actually,
you get
all that matters is you have to match up against the offense you play that week. Nothing to do with any other
team. That's right. And right now, the Patriots are 5-3.
But Fred, you just said had Matt Castle scored, we would have said that was a better defensive performance. Why? That's irrelevant
because we wouldn't be looking at
the outcome is irrelevant.
We wouldn't be looking at why they lost. We'd be looking at why they won.
I'd be looking at Peyton Manning move the ball at will whenever he wanted to.
If Jabbar Gaffney catches that ball, it's a whole different ball game.
The defense played the exact same game, regardless of what Jabbar Gaffney did.
Can I ask you? I want you an honest answer to the question. On the last drive, let's forget the Gaffney drop. Let's forget everything. The very last drive, okay? If they don't get the David
on who's
the Patriots,
yeah.
If they don't get the David Thomas penalty,
right,
and they end up kicking a field goal there to tie the game, do you really think that the Patriots would have stopped them?
I think they might have. I don't know. I think they might have.
I just can't. I can't even have a conversation
Fred,
with
Fred. Peyton was moving the ball in the 2 minutes real before the first half too.
If they had
moving it at will.
If they had only been up by three, they probably wouldn't have stopped them. But if they had gone up by four because of a touchdown, I think they might have, you know, kept them out of the end zone.
They might have allowed a 90-yard drive and maybe kept them out of the end zone.
Maybe.
The only person who stopped the Colts on Sunday was Joseph Addai not running the football.
Right.
They stopped themselves. The only times that they did not
score
or punt.
So the Patriots had nothing to do with Addai not running the football.
No.
Yes, they did, but their stubbornness to keep running it after a while, throw it.
This all started with pass defense in the secondary, and you thought that they did a good job, and I didn't.
Well, wait a minute. Now, hold on now. See, you're taking my words completely out of context. I'm not saying that they did this great job, but considering where they are, and I'm admitting, and
totally
I said this, they are depleted. The talent back there is, we 2 weeks ago we had Rodney Harrison. We don't even have him now. And he was like the soul of that backfield. I think they did okay.
What I'm telling you is I thought the Patriots offense dictated the way the game was played all night long by not leaving the field, shortening the possessions, doing exactly what Bill talked about after the game, and that is what kept the points down.
And maybe that's how they're going to win. Did.
Right, it's ball control.
That's what the Patriots.
And the problem was they didn't punch in the end zone.
And this is why, by the way, when we talked yesterday, this is why I was disappointed with the loss because I thought the Patriots controlled the game. They played the game on their terms. I thought the Patriots were a better team.
I agree
than Indianapolis.
With that.
Indianapolis, to me, is done.
And I think
they're a shell of what they used to be.
We all said
the Patriots. I thought took it to Indy for the better part of that.
And we all
minutes.
Said on Tuesday that we thought that this was the perfect game plan for this game. You know, you had to extend drives. You had to make it a low position. And I think they executed all of that. You know, I think, you know, look at the things that we're looking at of why they lost. We talked about the Thomas.
They broke. Instead of bending, break, they broke.
We talked about the Thomas penalty. We talked about Jabbar Gaffney dropping. We talked about coaching decisions. Okay, now all of a sudden, on Wednesday, you're saying it's defense?
Oh, we just didn't get into the defense yet.
No, listen, you just did the same thing you accused me of. You know,
that was taken out of context.
But on Tuesday, when we were analyzing this game, we were talking about those things.
Well, those are more pressing issues.
I think those were
those singular things.
But yes. I think that to sit there and say that the Patriots' defense did the job, I don't think that's entirely true. The Patriots' front three was outstanding. They shut down the run, not only without having to put an extra guy in the box, they took guys out of the box.
Yeah.
And they still shut down the
run.
But from an Indy perspective, I'm looking at it as Peyton was stubborn.
And I think that
if they just threw the ball every play, I don't think the Patriots would have come
Fred,
up with a
score. I think Bill
Belichick and Dean Pease and Don Capers knew going in our weakness is our secondary. That's why we have to play the game the way we're going to play it against the Colts. And I think overall they got the job done.
Okay, well that's where you and I philosophically disagree.
The issue was You had to not make the mistakes on the other side of the ball.
I think
you had to not make the mistakes on the sideline that a lot of people thought
they
made.
I think they got the job done on offense. I don't think they got the job done entirely on defense. I don't think Bill is looking for 15-play, 91-yard touchdown
drives. I don't think they got it done on offense either, Paulie. One touchdown and four trips to the red zone?
No, I'm talking about the ball control aspect. Keep the ball out of Indy's hands.
But you got to finish it. You know, you got to.
You have to.
And you got to stop the other team from finishing it. And
this team is not going to be able to do that all the time, as most teams in this league. When teams spread it out, there's very few teams that have the depth and quality depth to stop these teams from passing.
And if you're going to say that, then I think even more so they need to unleash Matt Cassel and score more points.
No, I agree.
Because they've proven they had the perfect game plan. They executed it, held on to the ball, and they can't beat a mediocre Colts team.
And I think if you listen to Josh McDaniels' comments, I don't know when they were made.
Yesterday.
I think you hear that. I think you hear them saying he's
we're
ready.
We're now nitpicking a couple plays and saying they lost because of that, but if you're going to play tight games, and we talked about this yesterday, he came out of halftime thinking it was a tight game, tight possessions, got to go for two, all that.
Yep.
If you're going to play that tight, then yeah, one mistake will cost you the game.
Right.
You're not good enough. So
that was my post-game
analysis. If you can't stop anybody on defense, and you're admitting that, Fred, and you say the defense is what it is, it's not that good, right?
Well, a portion of it isn't that good. You're right.
But it's a big portion of it.
Freddie,
it's going to be the fatal flaw of it.
Well, I think it's a similar flaw to a lot of teams. It's not unique to the Patriots.
So then you need to just worry about what other teams do. I don't really get that. What do you care about the other teams' problems?
I'm just saying that to say that the Patriots are lacking in the secondary isn't something that stands out among this league. There's a lot of teams that lack depth in the secondary in this league. That's just the way it's been that way.
And a lot of those teams make up for it by getting after the passer. Right. The Patriots aren't one of
them. Well, that's okay. You can argue that if you want. Now, maybe I'll agree with that. I mean, a week ago they did it. Last week they didn't. I don't know if that was the game plan.
So the 1 week they do and the 7 weeks that they don't, they can do it sometimes.
But that might have been the game plan. It's not to, to rush three, not worry about
clearly
it.
Clearly that was the game plan.
How many sacks they had combined in their three losses?
I'll take a line from Bill would say, I don't think the game plan is to ever not put pressure on the quarterback.
Well, that's true.
And when they don't get after him, they lose.
But clearly had a game plan.
Richard Seymour is there.
But
I don't care if it's three linemen. His job is to put some pressure on
him. Peyton Manning is, you have to admit, very tough. Every team goes in there saying we need to pressure Peyton Manning.
And this year teams have.
Well, some
have. He's taken a lot of hits this year.
A lot of teams have.
Not on Sunday.
The Patriots had a grand total of 2 quarterback hits Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, nothing even close to a sack.
No.
Trying to think of them.
Well, that makes the secondary play even more remarkable. If they could
Fred,
do that
they don't,
without
they don't,
having
they don't,
only two
they don't
hits.
Get
what
after
was
the
remarkable?
They gave up 22 of 29 completions. What did they do?
Allen is in Dayton. Allen, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, Allen.
Yeah.
What's up, Fred? I see you got my name right. I know you said Alex last time.
Well, Gary wrote it down right this time, so.
Okay. What's going on, man?
Bus?
How you doing?
Gary.
Good. I'm doing great.
Hey, what's going on, Paul?
Hey, nothing much, man. How are you?
Doing all right. Hey, I hear y'all arguing about that defense of ours, man. I think you just need to let them play a little harder, man. I think he's letting them look for the run too much, man, because they ain't getting the pass rush like they're supposed to. We got these top-flight defensive linemen, but they ain't getting to the quarterback.
The reoccurring theme in every loss this year has been the lack of a pass rush to me.
I can't argue with that.
Now, I will agree with Fred this week. They clearly went at it and said, we're going to flood the zones. We're going to drop everybody back, keep everything in front. We're not going to worry about going after Peyton Manning, and they didn't. But you got to get a little
You got to get
pressure.
Something.
Even when you're only rushing three every
can't
play.
Can't argue with
occasion.
That.
One guy's going to get through now.
Richard Seymour needs to be a factor. Dalis Thomas
no
needs to be a factor. Yeah. I agree with
you. You look at Tennessee, man. They be having like just a four-man front, and they be getting to the quarterback like relentless. I'd be like, dang it. it's just like a jailbreak most of on all their plays almost.
But even when you watch like Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and the Giants, I mean, these teams don't all blitz constantly.
No.
They get pressure.
Their guys get after quarterbacks.
And that's like, man, I wish we had a defense like that or had some players that could.
No, they fly around, but they fly around. But even the Colts' defense is not what it was last year.
I said this before. I'm thinking he's teaching them too much, man, and giving them too much to bite on, man. Because like the secondary, man, they be out of place sometimes, and I'm like, maybe he's just teaching these guys too much, giving them too much.
Well, there's been a lot of upset back there, a lot of disarray, not a lot of continuity, and I think that doesn't help. I don't think it helps.
No, it doesn't. It didn't help Indy either. Indy played without 3 starters.
Okay, but we're talking about the Patriots now.
But you have opened up the door to comparing them to every other team in the league, so I want to continue your
team. It's true.
I would say the same thing about Indy. They're guys that they count on. Dwight Freeney
and Robert
Mathis.
You're making my point.
Didn't get there.
Exactly.
You're making my point then, all right?
But I think the Indy defense stunk Sunday. You think the Patriots should get a gold star.
Well,
that's the only difference.
He completed a high percentage of passes, though.
Right.
Yes. That's the problem.
He did pretty good against us. As far as our offense, man, they had rookies out there. We should have been going down the field. We should have been blasting at them, no matter what.
Yeah, I think
more than they did.
I think that's going to be the most interesting thing going forward is how often they sort of give Castle a little bit more leeway? You know, are they convinced now that he can play a little bit more than just game manager and avoid mistakes, or are they not? They might not be.
Let's look at that last play, the one Watson got defended against. I mean, okay, there's a example of McDaniels kind of opening it up and going down the seam, you know, to a tight end. Sometimes that can be a risky play.
On 4th and 15?
Well, to Watson. I mean, you know.
That was, he just threw it. I mean, he got buried as he threw the ball.
You're right. I forget he got hit on that play.
That one, yeah that's not exactly in my camp or anyone's camp.
You're right.
You know, Matt did the right thing. You can't take a sack there. You just got to throw it up and hope someone makes a play.
Dougie said at halftime he was surprised that we didn't try to test the corners.
So did Keewon Ratliff.
That's what he said at halftime in the interview.
I mean, I would have threatened me too.
Those corners were not backpedaling at the snap. They were running full-fledged backward at the snap. I just thought that you could have gotten more, you know, against guys like that. They were clearly, I mean, you're down to your number four and number off the depth chart because he wasn't even on the team.
Well, number
corner,
six
and,
corner.
And I think there's a lot of teams, maybe they're not taking guys off the street, you know, a couple days before the game, but there's a lot of teams that lack depth in that secondary, and I think it's time for Castle to, you know, to see what he can do against them.
Right. That's our point.
Yeah. And I would say the same thing, by the way, for Indianapolis. I think their offensive game plan was way too conservative. I think you needed to press those guys in the Patriots secondary, and they never really did.
I think that's Peyton Manning falling back on his rules.
That game just seemed weird to me, man. It didn't seem –
That was a very odd game.
I'm just used to Indianapolis putting up points and we putting up points. It just was like
I mean, even when you look at the game book,
right there.
You know the drive chart in the game book that usually takes up the whole page? It only took up half a page. That tells me that neither team really got stopped, but then you look up and you have, you know, Fred's point of, well, it was 18-15. You know, how many more points, that's a good amount of points to give up.
Belichick needed to get his play calling together a little bit, too, as far as, like, some challenges. He should have challenged the one play. I thought that he got the first down. And we went for it on fourth. I mean, we kicked the field goal instead. I thought we should have went for it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he said it was shorter than he thought it was, and then he looked closer, and it was over a yard away, a little bit more than a yard, so he changed his mind.
Well, we got a 6'5 quarterback.
Yeah.
Hey, run or sneak.
Or something.
I mean, why not?
I mean, I don't mind them kicking a field goal, but I'd like them to do it without having to call a timeout. Yeah. That's my only problem.
That was that. Yeah. That sequence was not favorable.
So, well.
All right, Alan.
Hey, I'm happy to talk to y'all, man. Y'all keep it up.
We're
man.
Happy that you call. Thanks, Alan from Daytona. No, Dayton, Ohio.
Freddie, I will say the one part that I really strongly agree with you on is that I think there were a lot of positives to fall back on in this game.
Sure.
I don't necessarily agree with all of your positives, but there were a lot more good than bad, I thought, came out of this game for a loss. I agree with Mike, too. I mean, I'd rather learn my lessons in a win. Than have to give up a game.
I just would rather not be in a three-way tie in the AFC East now going forward. I think that's a disadvantageous position to be in, and this loss could come back and haunt them.
You're in the position now where,
you control your own destiny.
You win, and that's great, but you're also winning, and you're worried about the scoreboard, too. I mean, not yet, but you're going to have to worry about what other teams are doing.
Welcome to the rest of the NFL.
Now, there's where I totally agree with you. They haven't had to worry about the division for a long time. But, Fred, I went down Miami's schedule a little while ago. Out of not including their division games, this is who they have left: home against Seattle, home against Oakland, at St. Louis, home against San Francisco, and at Kansas City. I mean, they could conceivably win all five of those games.
Yeah, it also tells you the teams that weren't good last year are still not good.
You know, and some of the teams that were good last year aren't good. The league is.
Dave from
not
the
good.
Philippines says, I tuned in late, but I can't believe you guys are debating why we lost that game. There's three simple reasons. One, Jabari Gaffney's dropped touchdown, a near-perfect ball. Two, worst clock management I've seen from Coach Belichick since he was in Cleveland. And three, none of our three best running backs dressed for the game. Our offensive line looked much improved. Castle looks better and better, and I think we have a good shot at the playoffs. That's Dave from the Philippines.
Totally agree with the last part. I think they're a lock for the playoffs.
Me too.
I do. I think barring something catastrophic, you know, maybe Castle goes down now or something like that. I mean, I don't know, but I don't see them not making the playoffs. I think they're a lock.
I don't either, but
Patriots?
Lock is a strong word for me. I don't think anything in this league is a lock. Right
I can't
now.
Go there yet.
I know what you're saying.
Maybe, I think these three games, you guys are right.
Let me ease back a little bit. I think they're the favorite out of this three-way tie.
I agree.
You guys are right.
Lock is a strong word.
Yeah.
And I think they could get in with nine wins this year, and I don't see them losing four. I mean, how many more games than four could they lose?
I think they can lose any of these games,
and I think they can win any of these games.
You're right, Fred.
And I think they're going to win more than they lose, but I'm not locking in anything.
They have four. There's four tough games. They have the three division and then Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Pittsburgh's not a good team for them.
They finish on paper with four games that should be easy, but three out of those four are on the road.
Yeah.
So you never know what can
happen. They haven't had a signature road win yet.
No, they haven't.
Well, I would say the Jets was pretty good.
Yeah,
right?
That was, you know, but they've
lost. Paul never saw that coming.
They've lost to the two good teams, the Colts and the Chargers, on the road. So
that's the alarming thing, is to beat a good team on the road.
Strippers reminds us that iOmega hard drive that you were questioning the Patriots are selling with the Patriots logo. He says it looks good and it's huge. Andy was wondering how big a few weeks ago. It's 250 gigs. That's 100 gigs bigger than my desktop's hard drive. So you want to get that on the Patriots Pro Show. That's a good stocking stuffer, by the way. That hard drive. For someone who goes to Patriots.com a lot, you buy that and you put it in their stocking, and then they can put all their media on it.
We'll have to let Santa know.
Nothing a six-year-old kid wants in stocking more than a hard drive.
You could put your iTunes library on it and then carry it around with you.
If I got that in my stocking, I'd say, what?
Those are called iPods, Fred.
Well, true. But, but you know, you should always keep your library and an external hard drive, because if your computer ever crashes, you download all those
on the verge
music
crashing.
And bought them. You don't want to lose all that stuff.
You can't put them from your iPod back on to iTunes?
Yeah, you can. You can do that.
iTunes is very complicated at times, and it erases a lot. And if you take something off the hard drive, iTunes doesn't recognize it if you move it to a different folder. So that's why I don't know if it works with an external hard drive.
No, as long as you tell iTunes that's where your library is, it works. Yeah,
that's not a bad idea. I may need to do that for mine, because I have a lot of music on my laptop that just slows the damn thing down.
Matt in Connecticut's on the phone. Matt, how you doing?
Good. How's it going?
Hey.
Great.
Matty.
I haven't been listening live, but you guys haven't been talking about politics, have you?
No. No.
Nope. No.
You want us to?
I fully support our new commander-in-chief, however. I am not a sore loser.
Not a sore loser.
This time.
Did any of you guys... Did any of you guys see the Randy Moss interview?
With who?
His press conference right after the game.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
They were there.
Because he seemed like... it seemed like to me that he was really upset with the... David Thomas call, and when I was watching on TV, I thought it was clear that, you know, it was a penalty, and he was talking about, like, stuff like fines and stuff. So was, like, the team really upset with the call?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought he and Matt Light in particular.
And some others who didn't speak to the media, but I heard them talking to other teammates. They were emotional after the game, after that call.
Yeah. And I think that you're right, Matt. I think that had they had the benefit of the replays that we did, I don't think they would have been quite as upset about it. Because I think it was pretty clearly a penalty. But, you know, I'll be honest, to defend the players, live, I didn't think it was really a penalty. And we all saw it on the field, but when we watched the replay and saw just how long Green Ellis was already on the ground, it was pretty
And I think that no one was moving. The guy that Thomas hit, he was just kind of standing
there. Bystander.
You know?
Unnecessary
I said to Andy, it broke three rules. I was like, it was after the whistle, first and foremost. It was hitting a guy who really wasn't a threat to be involved in the play, and then it was kind of a blind sucker shot. He wasn't really even looking. I mean, it wasn't from behind, but he wasn't looking. He didn't know that David Thomas was
playing. I don't think so. So it's almost like this guy had done something earlier to Thomas and he was getting revenge or something. But it wasn't a smart move. It just wasn't smart.
Is David Thomas that kind of guy? Like he?
No.
I've never really seen any problems with him.
No, it was a bonehead move.
It was very out of character. I thought he's a pretty mild mannered guy.
Yep.
And what do you think of Kazier getting his job back right away?
I'm not surprised. He's been the starter for a couple of years, so you figure he's the draft pick.
I was a little surprised. I thought LeVore had played pretty well, but
based on how the way they played and handled their pass rush, it was the right decision.
Yeah, he played well.
Do you think LeVore might come into play later in the season?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, yeah, he's going to be a big factor going forward.
Well, if there's an injury.
I was going to say at this point, I would say
they have
injury.
Their starting lineup.
I think that Bill told you the answer to that question Sunday. If Kazier's healthy, he's my right tackle. Nick Kazier's my right tackle.
What about long term? Do you think LeVore might be here?
That I don't know.
I think, you know, he could be like a Hochstein guy, you know. that he'll always have a job if he stays healthy and you know, plays well in practice.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Nick Kasher long term.
No.
But I don't know that. I mean, I've only seen Mark Lavoie for 2.5 games, and he played well, but I'm not sure I'm sold on him long term either.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. I had to call in because Fred decided to stop reading my emails.
Why'd you stop reading his emails, Fred?
I don't know.
Nice job, Fred.
I don't know.
Freddie.
I can't get to every email.
We do get a lot of emails.
Feel free to call back anytime, Matt. We'll take you right at the top of the line.
Okay. All right, Matt from Connecticut.
We'll put Matt on before all the other callers.
Yeah. All right, it's 101. We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie, both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
January 29th, 2008. I'm a creep, and I can admit it. Paul didn't want to be included in this blog about Kelly Pickler, but I have nothing to hide. While Pickler talked with Sammy Morris, Paul and I came up from behind and got our team photographer to snap a photo of us behind the buxom blonde. Pickler is hot. She's tiny, too. Can't be more than 5 feet tall. For a guy who is only 5'9", that's perfect. And it's good to see she's put the money she's made to good use by, enhancing her body. And I think I'm in love with Pickler. And I'll be telling my wife that when I talk to her later today. I will be printing a copy of the photo of me creeping up behind Pickler and framing it. Short blondes with large breasts, especially those willing to show them off, are my favorite.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
Paul's a short blonde with large breasts. You like him, too?
He doesn't have any hair. He doesn't have large breasts, though.
He has been blonde in 5 years.
Although I have something against girls with large breasts and massively large guts beneath it.
Oh,
that's what
no,
Paul
that's,
has.
That's not good.
Homer Simpson Perillo over there.
So if he got a little bit more svelte, you'd consider him?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Put a bag over his head.
Let's see. Salt from Orlando writes, and word on the street is Oakland is about to waive D'Angelo Hall. Yep, we heard about that, and we're talking about it earlier. The Patriots need to put a waiver claim on him. I know you guys always say, well, if this team doesn't want him, why should the Patriots? But we've all said it. The Pats secondary sucks. This guy is young and was good recently. If Belichick lights a fire, maybe we approve some immediately. Plus, if one of the rookies progresses, maybe next year we're looking at two legit starting corners. Oh, yeah, and here are some pictures of Peppa. Decide if she is calendar material. And I would say, nice.
Now he's offering up his girlfriend.
She's dressed in a little Bo Peep outfit.
I'm coming around to look.
So they're a little bit small. But look at these guys. It's like I'm giving away free food over here. They didn't move so fast. Okay, all right. That's enough. Stop breathing on me. All right, so that's Peppa. What about it? We were talking about D'Angelo Hall a little bit earlier. I don't know if we kind of finished that conversation or not. Do we have any more updates on him?
Well, they haven't released him yet.
He hasn't even officially.
It's not official yet.
So I would assume 4 p.m. it'll be.
We don't talk official. About players who are under contract. Do
you think the fact that they already picked up Webster means they're not interested?
Nope.
Or,
no, I just don't think they're going to sit back and wait for a guy to get cut to
right.
make a move.
Plus,
if Webster's out there, they practice. Needed somebody now. They had to practice.
The earliest Hall would be here would be tomorrow.
If they want Hall, they'll make a move.
Dan in New York also wants to know the same thing, whether or not the Patriots might be interested in D'Angelo Hall. When he was with the Falcons, I know he had the problem with the coach, and you know he's that kind of volatile type of player, very emotional. You know, doesn't really. He's not the stoic type. He lets it all out there, but he does have talent.
Who did he have a problem with?
Chad Johnson.
No.
Oh, coaching wise,
it was what's his name? Petrino, right?
Coach.
The
current coach is Mike Smith.
Yeah, so it was Petrino. Yeah,
pretty sure it was Petrino.
Sure it was Petrino?
And Petrino was a jerk, right?
Yeah. Ran out on his team. Every player in that locker room has a problem.
Right.
With that coach.
So maybe that's
yeah.
Not...
You really can't. If that's the case, you can't hold that against him. Yeah.
I know,
but he also had a problem with the owner too, though, didn't he?
Well,
maybe
he's like Chad Johnson. He pops off. He's emotional. But I still think it's a case of the risk is worth it. He's talented.
Yeah, he had a
I haven't seen him play this
on,
year.
Fred.
Yeah, but who doesn't?
Yeah.
Bam Childress raised pit bulls.
Chad Brown raised snakes, right?
Right. Oh, as long as you're nice to him, I don't care if you raise them. It's when you tie him to a tree and force rape them that I have a
force
problem
rape
with.
Force rape them? What the hell
that's
is
where'd
Paul
did.
Go? Big Show.
Speaking of force raping. No, he went to the Big Show.
He didn't even say goodbye.
No, he did. No. He kind of was in a hurry.
Maybe he's mad at you.
Yeah, by the way, Paul went to the Big Show. Anyone, he's back on the Big Show. So good for Paul.
Anyone who needs to take an afternoon siesta around 2.
We don't have to hear that about that whining anymore about how, you know, we have to do the show.
Call me anymore.
The Neckin show on Tuesday, so I don't get to be on the Big Show anymore. But, you know, it's good for him. It's good that he's on the Big Show.
Can't whore myself out.
You know. Marcos from Argentina. I'm not listening live, so excuse me if you have not already covered this. I have just read that the Pats signed Webster, so I'll deduce that Wheatley's injury is at least a concern. My question is, aren't there better corners in the free agent market? What about Fernando Bryant? Isn't he useful at least to add some more depth to the position? Can't we reconsider Ty Law?
Obviously, they don't think too highly of either of those players anymore because they've had opportunities and ample opportunities to get both, including Law.
Well,
and Bryant.
They're two different situations. Law, I'm sure he's still asking for money. And Bryant, they clearly just decided they don't want.
If they wanted those guys, they would be here.
Well, I think if Ty Law said, I'll play for what Jason Webster's making, Ty Law would be in uniform and on the field as we speak. Ty Law thinks he's worth $6 million.
Well, Ty Law's on his couch right now. So he's not getting that. So he will his asking price will have to come down. And if he wants to play and they want him, they'll bring him here.
Or he'll just stick to his guns.
Well, he may do that too, and that's fine. But I don't think there's a big pressing need from the front office to bring in Ty Law right now.
I didn't either. I'd put a claim in on D'Angelo Hall.
So would I.
Yeah. Let's see. Jan from Australia writes in. What? I can't even say what he said in his subject line.
You sure?
Why? Yeah. Let's.
You've said a lot of things on this show.
Nah, I can't say that.
Can you paraphrase?
It's kind of dirty.
Paraphrase?
Paraphrase.
It says, Eric is not gay. He just does something. I can't say that.
Rhymes with Rux Rick?
Right, Gary? No, it's not it. Am I right in saying that? I shouldn't say that, Gary.
Very good, Fred. Yes, you are correct.
Okay, good.
Can we do rhymes? Is rhyming okay?
Hey, guys, all together now, and Eric. Sounds just wanted to write in and say that I'm still listening to all the shows
Hollows.
And still think that you guys do an excellent job with the podcast. You truly are second to none. Now, I have a question and a little game. First, let's start with the question. Would any of you trade a first-round draft pick for Larry Johnson's services next year from the Chiefs? If no, would you consider trading a second-round draft pick?
No and no.
I don't think either one.
I might trade a second.
You might trade
Larry
a second.
Johnson?
I wouldn't even consider a one.
No.
He's on the decline heavily.
Okay, now let's play a game, would you rather. One, would you rather go and see one of Eric's gallery shows or attend a Lions vs. Chiefs game?
I have
Lions,
no
Lions Chiefs.
Oh, yeah, every day and Saturday.
Yeah, it's still football.
Yeah. Two, would you rather have Tom Brady on your team or have Bill Belichick as the coach?
Oh, I can't wait.
Apparently Bill Belichick is the coach.
Yeah.
Probably.
Why are you rolling your eyes, making funny faces?
Three.
Whoa! What's that? That's a telling.
It's a tough question. I don't know. I mean, you know,
I don't know if it's that tough.
If you have Belichick, you still got to find yourself a quarterback, and if you have a quarterback, you still got to find yourself a good coach. So it's tough. It's a tough question. You can't have one without the other.
They have one without the other right now, and they're tied for atop the division.
Well, they weren't what they were. You know, come on.
Well, obviously the ideal is to have both, but the game here is to pick one or the other.
So we all pick Belichick.
Okay, but you rolled your eyes.
Would you rather...
You want to take Eric's art gallery to a Chiefs game.
Did I say that?
I knew that would confuse
him. He doesn't even know what he didn't say anymore.
Right.
I know what I said. I'm just asking rhetorically because Andy's an ass.
No.
Well, then move on.
Would you rather attend a Super Bowl or have a night with any woman you desire?
A night with any woman I desire. That was really quick from both of us.
Even though you're married.
I'm not married.
I mean, oh, that's right. You're not. that means adultery, Andy.
Yeah.
You're okay with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
I think Deidre would be. Jessica Simpson, I'm allowed to have sex with any time.
Is that right?
Yep.
So would that be the woman you picked?
I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah.
Because, see, I'm allowed to have sex with her. It's not forbidden.
Right.
Four, would you rather be in a room alone with Eric or listen to Eric sing?
Oh, that's tough.
Can you
I can turn
see?
Off the singing.
Boomer yeah, you can't turn him off.
Unless you're a woman.
And a girl can't.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time,
Eric.
Guys. And just letting you know, if I have plans of visiting Gillette Stadium and all that it has to offer, I don't know when this will happen, but I promise I will buy you guys lunch then.
All right.
And if you would let me, I would personally deliver it to you guys in the studio.
Yes,
you would
can.
Like that too.
From where? Sydney,
Australia?
Sydney?
Somewhere out there.
Bring some Australian girls.
Are Aussie girls hot?
Aussie girls. They can be if they want to be, sure.
Now, what are you juggling? 3-4 girls right now, Mike?
I'm not juggling anything right now.
No?
I don't think we're supposed to talk
about
that.
No, that's cool.
We can't talk about your personal life?
Yeah, you can talk whatever you want.
So how many girls are you juggling?
Just so you know, Fred, it's not as much about a sensitivity like Eric. It's as much about if he's juggling any of them and they may be listening, then he'll be juggling as many.
No, nobody that's
Oh, you tell him about this
listening.
Show?
Yeah, but no, I'm not.
That's your first.
I am not. No, I am not currently tied down to anybody right now.
Really?
So, yes, that's
correct. Not what you said a couple of weeks ago. You said you were spoken for.
It's not what I said a couple of days ago, but things change. So,
It's a
fluid situation.
One less picture in the cubicle.
Yeah.
Why? Can I say a name? And is she out?
She's out. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
As of
about 5 minutes ago.
No.
Hi,
yeah.
I'm
as
Tara.
Of the day she listened to the show. Nice. As of 2 days ago.
So what's the next call?
I got a couple of things brewing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a hooah.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Got to line things up for that February break, you know, when the kids are out of school. Make sure you have all the nights set up.
That's when my dates will be out of school, yes.
February vacation.
Ethan in Delaware says, I will defer to what passes for football experts and Andy. Good afternoon, gentlemen, and Mike, he says.
So what?
Good afternoon, gentlemen and Mike.
So he took a shot at me, a shot at you. Does the next line say, welcome heterosexuals and Eric?
Going straight to football, I have a couple questions on Guyton and Green Ellis. I'm not sure if I'm missing something, but I'm not as high on those two as everyone else. Perhaps I'm being a pessimist, but I see lower ceilings for both players.
Well, with Green Ellis, that's one thing, but I think Guyton's played well.
I think
Wouldn't you agree?
Well. Yeah.
People have been really superfluous in the praise for Green Ellis. Like, I mean, I don't really understand where it's all
coming
from.
I think they're just happy that he's not falling all over himself.
Well, and he's moving forward. He's not
the bar higher than that.
He's the anti... Matt Cassel was unfairly compared to Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Now Green Ellis is being compared favorably to Lawrence Maroney because he's not dancing. He's just hitting the hole.
Right.
Sometimes it's 2 yards. Sometimes it's five, whatever.
Right. Right.
He's getting in the end zone on a couple nice end zone runs.
Yep.
I think he's benefiting from the guy who stunk.
I think Gutton could be a pretty good player in this league. I'm not sure what sort of long-term value Green Ellis has yet.
Right. I don't think Green Ellis has the – I don't think he's overly strong. I don't think he's overly fast.
Yeah.
Like, Gutton – has legitimate NFL skills. As Bill said, he kind of got caught as a tweener, but he can run, he can jump, he's got decent size, he's got sort of the typical skills of an NFL linebacker. But the question was, what kind of NFL linebacker? 3-4, 4-3, inside, outside? Who cares? He's got some skills. Let him play.
Well, Ethan's take is as follows. Guyton's ceiling, I see, as a good rotational guy. He can be a dependable member of your special teams, be involved in sub-packages. If someone gets hurt, can fill in and not be torched. I put him in the same category I slot Woods in right, or in the best case, Jarvis Green. A good guy to have on the team, but I certainly do not see a Guyton-Mayo tandem as the starting inside linebackers for the next 5 years.
Yet,
Green Ellis, I will start by saying, I love how he runs straight at the hole and get what he can get. But given the option, I would much prefer Morris or Jordan out there running the same way but with better speed and power. If Green Ellis puts on about 20 pounds and builds his lower body a bit to really become a battering ram of a back, I could see him as a decent backup, short yardage, end of game type of back. Somewhere around 4 on the depth chart, taking the runs that Evans would be slated for and maybe allowing next year for a true fullback spot to open up.
If he's 20 pounds heavier, he'll be a bowler.
Yeah, he's not going to. I do not see either guy ever being a real starter, but solid pickups that help build depth.
Yes.
Finally, with Crable to IR, which is unfortunate for him as it will stop him from developing in practice, why did the Patriots Why did the Patriots bring back Webster? I can understand going with Spann and Richardson and playing Wheatley to develop the young guys, but if the situation was dire enough to bring in a veteran, why not call Bryant? As far as I know, he is still available and was a starter all through training camp.
Because he stinks.
They don't like him.
Well, Ethan is wondering if he made a pass at somebody's daughter.
Maybe.
Well, I mean,
I don't
the thing
know,
is, I think
like
people
him.
Are making these emails as if to say, did you forget he was out there? No, they didn't forget he was out there.
Bill is often just overlooks, like, easy things.
Right. They know he's out there. They don't want him. And we can't give you the reason, but he doesn't want him.
Right.
Okay. Let's see. Nick in Las Vegas writes in, I asked this question before the start of the season, and now with 8 games in the books, I'll ask it again. Who would you rather have in the middle of our defense, Jerod Mayo or Patrick Willis?
Patrick Willis.
Mayo.
Yes.
I'd have to say Willis, too.
Yeah, no question.
Willis is a great player.
Andy from Newton, with the rumors boiling around Al Davis maybe releasing players, would you like it if the Patriots scoop up one of those Raiders for a bargain as well as pissing off Davis even more?
D'Angelo Hall.
Yeah, anytime you can piss him off, that's good.
Because usually he's pissing on himself.
Hey.
Eric's here.
This is a rare appearance.
How you doing?
I think Eric had practice.
Just from practicing outside?
Outside, yeah. It's hot out there, Fred.
Hot?
Hot.
Is it really?
Really?
I don't have any.
Like 80 degrees hot or what?
Not 80, but like probably mid-60s.
Really?
Yeah.
Good, because I left my jacket at home.
Nice.
Not a heck of a lot to report. Missing guys, Wheatley, Lewis Sanders, and Sammy Morris. The only other note, I don't know if you had this last week or not, but Matthew Slater. With the white jersey, practicing with the wide receivers this week.
Hey, your boy might actually get some playing time. No, he won't.
No, he will not.
And he never played again.
I have another interesting anecdote. We'll have to save that for off the air.
Why? Really?
You'll know why when I tell you why.
Oh, you shouldn't have brought it up. Now
I know. Now everybody's anxious.
I have no formal artistic training.
Well, Gary just gave it away, so that.
Oh, you signed.
No. I'm kidding.
He's never sold a picture.
Kidding.
No, that would be great news if you did.
Of course it would.
No. In this economy?
So are you happy, Fred?
About you selling a picture?
No, about...
Somebody's at the door.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. Jeez. Is this really what it's come to?
Yeah, his career is pretty much bottomed out doing Word of the Day. But anyway, Obama baby. That's Obama baby. And it's a child conceived after Obama was proclaimed president by way of celebratory sex. or any baby born under Barack Obama's terms.
So we're going to have a Obama boom?
9 months from now, yeah.
I see what you did.
We're going to have a Barack Kirsch in 9 months.
Oh. Oh, is that true, Fred?
No.
In disappointing tone, no.
Did you have celebratory sex last night?
No.
Fred, too late. Fred couldn't stay up.
Too late.
He has trouble staying up.
We got to get cameras.
We do need cameras. That was good.
There's so many places I could go right now that I just can't do it. All right, what do you got, Eric?
Yes, nothing to say.
Since when?
Anything? No, because I'd make Eric cry.
You know, if we had cameras in here, we'd have a lot of those YouTube moments with like Bill O'Reilly on Inside Edition.
What the hell are you talking about?
I would make you cry.
What are you talking about?
I would say some very mean-spirited things, and I don't want to say them.
To me?
Yeah.
Well,
why? You started it.
How did I start it?
You said he couldn't keep it up.
Right. I said he couldn't stay up.
Late. You made an impotent
joke.
You
made an inference.
Me?
Yeah, you.
No.
Me?
You know, see now.
Speaking of
I like
Barack
it. He
Obama.
Goes, me, and he covers his breasts. I like that.
Lubricants.
All right. Is that it from practice?
That's it from practice.
Okay. No practice?
James? Oh, actually, pretty funny story. Ellis Hobbs was doing, he was going on some, it wasn't really a rant, but it was almost like he was hosting his own little radio show. He was, you know how
he's interviewing life. Himself.
No, you know how Hobbs and Adalys Thomas, James Sanders, a bunch of them like sort of stretched together in a circle. He's yelling at the top of his lungs. You know, I want to welcome everybody to the Circle Group. Latest news from the Circle Group. And he had like, I'm glad he said group at that point,
jerk.
But. He was going on telling stories about Antoine Spahn after
Gary
the game.
Gary throws his hands up.
It's a movie with, what's his name?
The Jerk, Steve Martin.
Yeah. It was hilarious, though, because he was cracking everybody up. We could hear, you know, in and out what he was saying, because sometimes he would lower his voice. But for the most part, he was like the top of his lungs. And it was almost like he was reading from a script. And he was like, attendance today in the group. And he was like naming all the people. And they were going, here. And then he's like reading off and he's like, among our visitors today is going to be head coach Bill Belichick, who will address the group shortly. Thank you. That is all. Then, like, he paused for, like, a minute. Then he comes back and starts retelling a story about
we're back.
Antoine Spahn and shivering going
into
the...
He's just flat out nuts.
Yeah, he is crazy.
He was... Everyone was in hysterics.
He would have his own radio show on any other team right now. His own ESPN radio show.
That would be
could you imagine that? Yeah. The Ellis Hobbs show.
Ellis Hobbs the third show.
Yes. I'm sorry, the third. Right. And I would probably listen.
That was pretty funny.
That's
good. Cracking everybody.
Okay,
up.
So they're in good spirits.
Yeah, they were.
Yep. I think the weakest part of his game per se is his game.
Yes. Other
I think
than that, he's
a
great
talker. He's a good guy. He's stand up. If he gives up a play, he tells you he gave it up. But he gives up plays.
Problem is, he's explaining that a lot.
Speaking of stand up, though, I want to just
your career.
No, I wanted to just say after the Colts game, I think David Thomas and Jabbar Gaffney were both stand up guys for addressing the media about their two glaring miscues in that game.
Yeah.
They didn't shy away. They didn't. They didn't refuse to answer any questions. They answered every single question until everyone was done. And you know, I just want to give them props for doing that because you know, a lot of times or a lot of other guys might have just you know said I'm not talking or avoided the media. And
that's good because I know I spoke to both of them. They were just waiting to hear what you had to say about that. So that's good. I'm only kidding.
Wow, Fred's still angry about that staying up late.
His
comment.
Comebacks aren't even funny or good.
I thought it was pretty funny.
You always do, and it never is.
See, you're laughing. That's all.
But we're laughing
at you.
At you, not with you.
That's all right. Make you laugh.
Hey, whatever.
That's all
drop
that
your
matters.
Pants.
Yes, you are. That's all that matters. As long as you're laughing.
Fred is giddy today, I can tell, isn't he?
That's
you're
all
giddy, aren't
boy's
you?
Boy's in the office now. He's happy for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Gets
I
that
mean, you know, I hope,
Bill
I wish the best for him.
I do, too.
We all support him, but we're not like Democrats. We support the man in office regardless.
Okay.
Well said, Mike.
I just hope you know that the threshold has gone down to 120,000.
Do it live!
Is that right?
Yeah.
Nice. You got it.
So the ever shrinking middle class in the country is...
Let's see.
I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Love it.
Sean writes in, hey guys and Eric, I'm a longtime podcast listener and thought I would throw in my two cents.
That's always funny. I'm sorry, but that is always funny.
I thought I'd throw in my two cents about the game plan. I thought it was a great game plan, which allowed us to control the game and put us in position to win in the end. I think Castle executed it almost perfectly, played the best he has all year. I also think the game plan would have been the same if Tom Brady was playing. The difference is that Brady knows where and when to take chances deep and has more confidence in himself and the receivers downfield. I don't think there is a leash on Castle anymore. He just chooses to make conservative throws. This is not a knock on Castle. He's doing exactly what he should be doing. What are your thoughts?
I don't know if I agree with him being the problem in terms of the play calling. I still think they're calling conservative plays for him, and I don't think they have the full trust in him to make all those throws.
Yeah, he's not making the calls.
He's not calling every play in the huddle.
He's checking down and taking shorter throws at the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
But there's also, they're still calling a lot of screens, and I know they did under Brady too, but he can be directed where his reads go and what they're looking to do in a game plan coming in, not just during the game, but, you know, we're looking to do this, we're looking to exploit this matchup, we want to take a couple chances here, give an extra opportunity and an extra look here, whatever, and I don't think they're doing that.
No, are you seeing a lot of four wide with one back and he's just dumping it off? No, you're seeing a lot of setups with two backs, two tight ends, and they're running screens.
Right.
They're playing it safe.
Okay, Steve from Winchester. Much has been said about Matt Castle's poise and awareness in the pocket this game. I thought it was his best game so far. However, I think the big difference was the offensive line. He did a good job stepping up in the pocket and finding an open receiver. A big part of that is because he was able to step up in the pocket and he had an extra second to find a secondary receiver. In the first four games, most snaps he had an inside rush in his face immediately. Against the Colts, Castle had an inside pocket. Hopefully this is more a factor of Neal's return and improvement in the line than Indy's defensive tackles, but far and away the best game by the offensive line, especially the interior, this season.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised that they didn't give up any sacks. Yeah, they had two tight ends almost every play in the game, or they had a running back chipping at the end, but it worked. And
they're an undersized front, so you're not going to see Dan Copen get pushed into the backfield a lot because they're not a big, powerful front. And so if you can keep those edge rushers in check, you're probably going to have a decent game up front across the board. One play, I brought this up to you, Fred. They've been using the sprint a little bit, sprint out right pass, and I think they're going to use that more. And I think they're running it that it's sort of a run-pass option because he is really attacking the line of scrimmage. He's not doing the – you can roll right and you're looking to throw. You're rolling right.
Right.
He's rolling forward and right, almost trying to challenge
– draw the guys up.
The corner that's in the flat and the short coverage. If you sit back, I'm running. If you don't, I'm throwing. Mm. And I think we could see a little bit of an evolution there as they get more used to Matt Castle's skills and athleticism. He needs to be careful because he's running more and he's taking more hits. He took a very big hit in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He needs to – well, he took one
it
when
took
he
took the helmet-to-helmet
helmet
hit, too. That
he
wasn't
needs
called.
To understand where the defense is and when to just take what he got and get down because, obviously – the next quarterback in line isn't all that ready to take over.
It sort of reminds me of an option play, but a more sophisticated option.
Yeah, no.
Instead of pitching it out, there's more sophistication in the actual
throw. And it's
throw.
Something you could have never seen with Tom Brady.
Oh, no, so absolutely not.
You know, one positive he might be able to bring as he gets more comfortable.
He's kind of hoping to goad the defender into coming up to play him.
Either or.
And
it's an option.
He leaves the receiver open. And
if they don't, he can run
it. If he doesn't, it's a five-yard run. You're heading to the sideline, so you can get your 5 yards and run out of bounds. So it's a running play in that. You know, way where there's not a lot of risk of the quarterback getting killed. He can throw it away. He can just throw it into the bench of the right sideline there. I think that's a play you might see a little more of in the coming weeks.
Russell writes in, do you guys have any inkling as to when the Patriots might lock up Will Fork and Seymour? I think that Dungy is tampering with Seymour. Last year and this year, he spent what seemed like 5 minutes talking to him after the game. Well, Dungy's retiring after this.
Clearly
game,
he's
right?
tampering.
Yeah.
Unless he's going somewhere else and doesn't really matter what he does. Anyway, I say he is subconsciously planning subliminal messages to get him to sign with the Colts when his contract is up. I don't trust anyone with a clutch cargo type mouth. What does that mean?
Clutch
cargo type mouth? Like a button mouth? A zipper mouth?
That's just me. One thing I'm really happy about that I had bad feelings when Brady went down was that Moss might turn into a malcontent and pout and disappear for the rest of the year. Unlike T.O., Moss has stepped up and been a leader. Lastly, one thing I noticed in the last two games with the high school kids playing cornerback, they seem to be close enough to the receivers, but just don't turn around to look back for the ball. Hopefully, as they gain more experience, this will change. Nice to know that you guys are getting so much that you can turn chicks away that show up at your hotel room. I can say that. Right.
I thought he edited it out.
No,
he did edit
so.
It out.
He did.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing, and I'm getting all filled with tears of joy for you. So I'll sign off now and say thanks for the great show, Poon.
Rhymes with Swoon.
I think that's the first. That's the first time you've ever used the button.
Yeah.
And we don't even.
Well, he knew the
not
email.
Not the first. I've used it before.
Really?
Yeah, he's used it before.
Who have you bleeped before?
Fred. A couple of times.
Really?
He just knows in advance when.
So that's why I haven't been fired.
And you once, I think.
You bleeped me?
Yeah.
You can't say that
the
word.
The new trick is to just say it at the end.
That was good.
Pretty harmless.
As quick as you can, where it doesn't belong there.
Well, that's all it's going to be now.
We have fun.
I don't think it was our choice to turn it down.
Chris from the Bronx.
Yeah, because what?
We're getting back to the
one was
hotel
clearly
call
a lesbian.
Here.
The other one was just.
The first one you said she was pretty hot.
Yeah.
Plus. It was me and Mike.
Yeah.
So?
I'm not into sword fighting.
Yeah, me neither.
you kick him out of the room and, you know, you put a sock on the handle until you're done and then
he. Don't put Andy's sock on the handle.
Oh.
And then 2 minutes later, Andy can come back in.
Right.
Oh. I'm sure it wouldn't take
self-deprecating humor. No, probably not.
Oh, boy.
So, Fred, I'm watching the election results yesterday.
Yeah.
And I thought there was a story on Andy that was coming up. Because I'm in the other room. And
he thought he told this joke 300 times already.
Oh, poor Andy. Because did you hear about the artist who made the 2.5-acre portrait of Barack Obama?
No.
It was made out of, like, stones and sand and other, you know, earthly
material. It's a real
artist. Material.
2.5 acres.
I have no formal artistic training.
I don't know. Maybe he did. But the anchor was reading the story, and she teased it by saying, coming up, this head is so big you can see it from outer space. He's so mad at me.
I'm not really that mad. You have told it about 100 times today.
Well, the
media room,
people.
The locker room, Paul's
different
office.
Audience. You just happened to be around when I told it. So.
Hold a Chris Farley there with your yelling.
Andy's head is so big he has satellites.
Okay.
Let's see. Chris from the Bronx.
Still having trouble keeping it up?
Chris from the Bronx, staying on the positive
side.
We can't
say that anymore, Gary.
Oh, you can. If you
of course you can.
Yeah.
Do we have an official...
I want a list of words I can't
drug
say.
Of the New England Patriots?
What?
The Ditka thing?
We did before.
Yeah, wasn't remember it was all over the billboards?
Yeah. Is that gone? Like Flomax? Which sounds like it's one of those, but it's a totally different thing.
Flomax is a fantastic name for it.
Sounds like the thing you cut your hair with.
That's a Flow-B. I wanted to get one of those.
Figures you would get your hair.
You don't have enough hair to do it with that. It has to have a lot of hair, don't you?
I don't know. Well, Fred does on his chest.
What's my joke? You know, the Flomax and the Viagra? People take it both. They don't know if they're coming or going.
Did you tell me that this weekend at the game?
I told you at the bar in San Diego.
Oh, when Paul was drunk?
Yeah.
No, he only had 9
beers. We're not allowed to say that.
Where is he, by the way?
Big
show. Went to the big show.
Oh, big time in us,
back on the big show.
Back on, huh?
Yeah.
Red Sox are over. They need help.
Just in time for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little scratch.
It's going to be a great Christmas at the Perlo household.
It's Christmas.
He's loaded as it is.
Let's see. Chris from the Bronx, staying on the positive side. I like how rookies have contributed more than since 2005. That draft included Mankins, Hobbs, Kazier, and Sanders, and Castle. This year, they've got Mayo starting, Wheatley, depending on his injury.
And his drinking problem.
And Will Hite in the rotation, and Slater on special teams, throwing Guyton and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, and that's a noteworthy year for rookies.
Well, it's obviously been better than last year, which wouldn't take much since one guy played.
Well, last year
didn't play that much.
Really
anyway.
Didn't need the help. 16-0.
Eh.
Mm.
Anything you could tell us on Mr.
Hurt? Yeah. Stuck around for a
anything you could tell us on Mr. Top Heavy Sean Crable? He's on IR.
Yeah.
And he was giddy and hopping around the locker room like he was
relieved
excited that he
major
went on IR.
The pressure's off, huh?
Whew, no more practice.
But he will be assigned to. Heavy leg lifting for the next 8 to 10 months.
Squats.
With increased rookie playing time this year and what seems like increased media access to young players, do you think Belichick's attitude toward rookies has changed?
No, they can't talk till Friday.
Andy got screwed out of a story today.
They're not allowed to talk till Friday.
Who are you going
to
talk to today?
It's been consistent all year.
Oh, and he gave you the heave-ho?
Well, he was very nice. I'd be happy to talk to you Friday.
Yeah.
I asked Mayo if he wanted to talk
to me. The heave-ho came
from happy to talk to me Friday.
And, Gary, you saw the PS on that one? On Chris from the Bronx?
Is it rhyme
his
with
email?
Spoon?
No, it's another offer for lunch.
Yes.
Nice. Hey.
Put him in the spreadsheet.
Red Robin.
Red
Get
Robin.
That. Oh, I like Red Robin. Five Guys opens on Sunday.
Yep.
Does it?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We got the word. We're sending Mike over postgame to get us food while we do the paper.
Your ass. If we are getting Red Robin for Tuesday, we should order it today because it'll probably be ready by Tuesday. That's all I'm saying.
They cooked the burgers better last time.
That's good. That's
they are. They're inconsistent. They're like
45.
In the New England secondary. Some big plays, some downs.
Try the grilled chicken Caesar wrap. Pretty good.
Good stuff. Okay, I had some grilled chicken thing last time. There, it was all right. I'm not going anywhere after the game. If I go somewhere to the scene, or I'm staying there because the Giants and Eagles is 8 o'clock. So.
Wow.
Better be done by 8.
We will be.
That means Fred better get his cover Ish. Done by 8.
My cover?
16 handles.
And by the way, the Patriots lost.
As you put the photo of the play in which Castle gets whacked
the
and throws
the pick.
The
one time he gets hit all day. The one bad play all day.
That was a photography issue, Fred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
That's all you got?
Yeah.
Andrew in the Ukraine, I've heard a lot of people talking about how Castle is getting a starting job, and I simply don't see how it's going to happen unless he waits to sign with a team after a preseason injury to a starter like Hasselbeck. There is a good chance that
of the Chiefs?
The Lions?
Heard
the
of
Bears?
A lot of crappy teams in this league?
There's a good chance a lot of very good underclassmen come out, and there's probably only four teams that are going into next year looking to find a starter. San Fran, Detroit, Minnesota, and Kansas City.
How about the New York Jets if Favre retires?
Right.
That's just off the top of my head. I got to think there's others out there.
And a lot of things can happen that may other teams.
How about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have never had a quarterback in the history of the franchise since John Gruden got there?
If Bradford, Tebow, Sanchez, Harrell, McCoy, Stafford, Robinson, and Hall come out, in addition to Painter.
Well, first of all, those are all great names right now, but if you remember at this time last year, Andre Woodson was the number one overall pick in the draft. Now he's on the Giants practice squad
I'll I'll take Castle over Tim Tebow.
And by the way, how many rookie quarterbacks actually start for the team that drafts them?
Well, but Castle wants to get paid starting money, and you're not going to do that if you're going to draft a guy. You're going to be looking for someone to keep a seat warm.
But you have a guy who's already proven he can play in the National Football League.
Right.
So not necessarily proven he's great, but so maybe he's going to have a full season under his belt.
You wouldn't do both. You'd either sign Castle or draft.
But there are teams that may have more than one need and can say, okay, we can get the quarterback situation squared away now. Now we can draft our D-tackle
or guard. You don't think John Gruden would say, he's pretty athletic, he can roll out, do some of the things we like to do, he's proven, I can get him. See, I don't buy the whole he's going to get $8 million a year. I guess Peter King wrote that, but you could offer him a starting job and pay him less than if you draft a guy in the first round.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and he's proven he can play in the league a little bit.
But I think his point is that there are a lot of quarterbacks. This is going to be a quarterback-heavy draft.
The guy who was going to be number one overall last year went in the wherever he went and is not in the league.
I know,
probably
but
never
there wasn't
be in
a
the
lot
league.
To choose from that much last year.
Not all of those guys are going to be in the first round anyway.
These guys all look like they're great. You know, Stafford's got this great arm, but he's not that good in my mind. I don't think he's that good.
And not all of those guys are going to go in the first round anyway.
And Tim Tebow, to me, is a major question mark because he makes more than half his living running the football. That's why he passed Emmitt Smith as their touchdown leader. I mean, I think he's a...
He might be a fullback.
I don't know what
something.
The hell he's going to be. I certainly wouldn't draft him in the first round and say, this is my franchise quarterback.
He's big enough
to be
a tight end.
I'd be scared to death of him.
Maybe
the
Patriots are running that play with Castle, the sprint out right. To get ready for Tebow next year, to get it into the game book, get in the playbook, so that when they have Tebow, they'll have that play already installed.
So you just closed the door on the Brady era.
Well, you never know.
It's a new era. Well, he doesn't care anymore.
What did I see about his dad getting sued?
Really? I didn't see that.
Some insurance, something, something. It's in the Herald today, of course.
Something, something, Spider.
John in South Carolina says, sorry, I did not buy lunch. I volunteered to help with the local Democratic Party. I drove back and forth 38 times for a grand total of 186 voters.
Well,
I live in South Carolina, and I helped to add another 186 Democratic votes to the ballot. I can look back and say I did not make it a freaking dent.
And McCain still won.
And How many of those were legit from somewhere else?
We needed
the lunch more than
he was driving
those
back and forth because he was actually just going to different places and voting. He had a list of names and addresses. I'm Joe from Smith Street. Okay, yep.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't.
I went to Peabody and
ID.
Voted for Paul yesterday.
What?
Did you?
Yeah, sure. I knew he wasn't going to vote, so I just went
I
in.
I think a red flag would have gone up there. This guy never comes. Why is he coming now?
Anybody here get their ID
never.
Checked? No.
No, but I made a point to show it because just for my own sake. I said, you know what? I'm going to show you my ID.
You are arrogant.
So he added more people that think he's just a pompous jerk.
Right.
No, the people at the polling place agree with me. So like, yeah,
I know they do, but that's not their job.
Some poor old lady.
It's done by the state. The state says in Massachusetts.
You tell her how
you
speak five languages?
I know. I live in Rhode Island.
They don't do it there
either. The same thing. No. But I just
like
said,
in Pennsylvania, you have to show it.
Yeah, some states you do, but
right.
In some states you don't. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I don't understand how they can do it.
Five conversations going on here at once.
John in South Carolina also says, do we look at the Colts' loss as a moral victory considering we almost won?
No.
The Colts getting offensive linemen, Adai and Sanders back. Do we pile blame on Castle for throwing that interception?
No.
Or do we just, or do we just blame everything on tight end Thomas for the late hit?
No. No, you
do
don't
we
blame
believe it, the defense made another improvement? Did Castle take a step back?
No.
How did he take a step back?
No, he played probably his best game of the season.
I think he's still building. I think he's gotten better every week with little things you say, oh, he's doing that a little bit better. He's doing this a little quicker.
And he's not taking two steps forward, a step back. He's progressing. Every week he's taking another step or two.
Paul Abdul song there.
I also like that he doesn't blow dry his hair before his press conference.
Yeah.
Why? Who does that?
Certain other who used to do those press conferences.
Used to do that, really?
Yeah, he would blow dry his hair. That's why it took forever for him to come out.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Castle just takes a shower, throws his suit on, and goes out there.
That's Brady did, too, when it was his first year. But then,
touche.
You know.
It's true. What was that other thing I read about Brady can't sell his apartment because the woman who's living in it won't let him show it?
Why was there a woman? What?
I didn't really understand.
Where are you reading all this stuff?
On like page
like
six
the
all
names
day. TMZ.com.
No, yeah. Like the back page of the Globe that has, what is it, places and people
really?
Or something?
I don't know.
His New York condo?
It said he took it off the market because the single mother living in it, which immediately I'm thinking Bridget Moynihan, but I don't, it made no reference to that.
His other single mother.
Wouldn't allow the agent to show it. And I'm thinking, he owns it. How can she not allow him to show it?
How was she living there to begin with?
Well, I'm sure she must rent it, but I would think.
And what single mother can afford an apartment like that?
Yeah, that's
probably like,
it's like a $12 million apartment, right?
Keeping
somebody
quiet.
Did you see it, Gary?
No, I just heard about it.
So am I telling the story correctly?
As I heard it, yes.
Okay. Did I tell you?
No more questions, counsel.
Because sometimes we do that. We tell each other stories.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah, I heard that. I heard that.
We confirm our
that.
Other stories through us.
It's too much talking going around here.
I agree.
We're doing a radio show.
It's a radio show.
All right, I'll be quiet.
No, I mean another time.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, Eric knows what I mean because he's smarter than you.
What does he mean?
Yes.
Paul in London says, how is your dawn of a new and better America going? So far, so good. Thank you. D'Angelo
Stock
Hall.
Stock market's down 300 points. Thanks.
Great news.
D'Angelo
taxes
Hall,
are going
if,
up.
If he goes to waivers and the rumored teams all go for him, where would the Patriots be in waiver order? It's the
know.
Same
what
as the draft order,
what
right?
What are the rumored teams? No, it's one loss right now.
Oh, it is? It's by right now?
What are the rumored teams? Gary, can you F at that?
And if Castle leaves at the end of the season, would the Patriots stick with Gutierrez or go for someone out of the lower end of the draft
O'Connell?
To be the third choice?
O'Connell.
To be the third choice behind O'Connell. Let me finish the sentence.
We don't do that around here. We like to jump down people's throats.
I was thinking a sixth round for Chris Crane out of BC, and yes, that's a homer pick.
He stinks. A veteran.
Yeah, I was going to say a veteran would probably make more sense.
I think they're going to sign a veteran, somebody. Yeah. I don't know who it's going to be. Gus Frerotte, some guy who's going to retire. You give him another
year. Yeah, like a Todd Collins type, a guy who's proven, but he's older and doesn't really look to start.
Because there is going to be some question as to Brady's availability to start the year.
Sure.
And O'Connell's development and all that, there's going to be like an open window there, and I think the veteran would be best to fill it.
Thanks for reading, guys. Keep going to pfwinprogress.com. There is less people on there every day now, and we need some discussion topics. Fred, cause some controversy, please. Oh, and buy a T-shirt. Thanks again, and there will be a surprise for all of you in 13 days of my birthday that I am organizing with Gary.
Yes!
Hell yeah.
Who is this?
Paul from England.
Nice.
Is it a stripper? Damn it.
What's the organized?
A stripper has somebody available.
Apparently it's a surprise, so I guess I can't tell you.
Molly, 19.
Who's that?
Yeah, she's 5'5", 120 pounds, and gorgeous, according to her
strippers.
Pimp.
It's not bad.
So, okay.
I'm looking at, what, 13 days?
No eyebrows.
What day is that?
The 18th.
Is this worthy of me getting excited about? Oh, okay.
Sure.
I'm going to.
Chris with a TIN says about D'Angelo Hall, every time I see him in a game, he's doing two things. One, blowing a play in coverage, and two, yelling at his coach.
So, which coach?
Whichever one is
everyone's
at the
time.
But he's had, I mean, his last year has been spent playing for Bobby Petrino, who ran out on his team, Lane Kiffin, who was in a terrible situation, and the cable guy.
Cable guy.
I just think Randy Moss sucked in Oakland, too, and everybody said he was a malcontent, and he couldn't play anymore, and he was a Pro Bowl talent who was fading. And then he came here, and he wasn't. And you had to actually trade for Randy Moss. You can put in a waiver claim on D'Angelo Hall,
yeah.
But you would have to pick up the contract if you do that.
What's the
wait a minute. I'm not putting a waiver claim in on D'Angelo Hall.
There's also rumors that, you know, and obviously any bad guy, the Raiders, you know, there's rumors that he might go there, but Mike Vick, when he gets back, if he gets back in the league, could go to the Raiders.
I think it's plausible. God. He'll be back in the league. There's no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Next training camp, he'll be in the
league. He'll be back.
So.
And he should be, I'll be honest with you.
I agree.
I mean, he screwed up, but Leonard Little gets to play.
No, I mean, yeah. He should get
another
chance.
He's killed, like, whole families drunk driving.
Yeah.
He only killed one guy. I mean, not to make it a... But we don't really...
Oh, he's had two... I did the must stop. He's had a couple of incidents.
Yeah, but I think only one killed anyone.
I didn't write must stop behind the wheel.
Oh.
But, I mean, it was dogs.
That was good.
And I know we're in this age where you can't even have dog racing in Massachusetts, but they're
no,
dogs.
It's not just
he
dogs.
Paid his time.
It's
he went to prison.
State, no, it's out of state gambling over
the
border.
No, I know,
border.
But he
it's
went to prison.
Dogs.
But most of the people who are emotionally charged by it, it's because of dogs.
It's because they're ignorant.
Oh, he killed little puppies.
That's not what it is.
And I also never heard that he raped dogs hanging from a tree.
No, they have a raping post where they tie the dog up and they
Oh, come on.
That's just
Are
friggin'
you kidding
sick.
Me?
No, I'm serious.
That's sick.
Oh, no, there was a lot of things that they did. That
but
was
still,
just,
he's
he
a
paid
sick human
time.
Being.
I mean, no, I know.
He
I'm,
spent
his
significant
time,
time in prison.
What he did was heinous.
Right.
But yeah, he should get another chance, I guess.
But that whole it's
I
only
hope,
dogs
I hope
thing
nobody
works
gives
both
him a
ways,
chance.
Though. Right. People who say, oh, he killed dogs and say, well, he just killed some dogs. Who cares? But they don't look at the facts. It's not just that he killed dogs.
Right.
He did a lot of
bottom line is he served a lot of time for.
No, hey, once you serve your time, fine.
Yeah,
and he's going to get a chance.
Right. I would not go anywhere near him with a
40-foot
pole,
but somebody will.
Somebody will.
Josh says, I wish Andy had been dumb enough to make that bet for the authentic Adalius Thomas jersey.
It's funny. Andy woke up this morning and goes, boy, I was glad I wasn't dumb enough to make that bet for the Adalius Thomas jersey. You know they're $299 now?
Oh, God.
I mean, are you serious?
It's insane.
$300 for a shirt?
No, thanks.
That you wear, like, how often?
Right.
Once a week if you go to a game or sit in
And at $300, I'd be scared to wear it.
Yes.
Because it's not like a suit where you wear a suit in a place where you don't think you're going to get dirty. I mean,
no.
You're eating nachos over a $300 shirt, you could drip on it and it's ruined.
It's ridiculous.
Like that kid who wore the Favre jersey for like 13 years.
Right. Well, he got his money's worth out of it.
Yes, that's fine. Or me, like, who wore my Eli Manning jersey once.
Leave it to strippers. A Massachusetts man has filed a federal lawsuit against the father of New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady for allegedly failing to pay him about $600,000 in sales commissions and business expenses. Richard Vasquez of Weston claimed in a suit filed last week that Tom Brady Sr. convinced him to forego $415,000 worth of commissions by promising to make him an equity owner in his San Mateo, California-based company, Thomas Brady & Associates Insurance Services. But that never occurred, and he was later fired. So,
dumbass.
Whoops. Never forego any money.
So that's that.
Somebody
deal.
Owes you $400K, look for a check.
F you, pay me. Well, they're saying Goodfellas.
The guy's from Weston, so he's got some money, too.
Sure.
It's not
maybe.
Like,
but he's also $450,000 cheaper.
You know the guy?
Weston.
Or,
I know Weston.
Or,
well,
say.
That guy who murdered his wife and daughter was living in a ritzy neighborhood, and he was, like, paying rent and up to his eyeballs in debt.
All
up
right.
Up to my eyeballs in debt.
It's 148. We'll take one more break, and we'll be right back.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've kind of got a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins. We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac-A-Tack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
And now, a blog reading from Dan Tugender. Tugender.
May 19, 2008. I've just returned from a most adventurous trip to Egypt, my first anywhere in Africa or the Middle East. Many of the photos I snapped will now enter the pipeline of new paintings I'll be starting soon. The pharaonic pyramids, towering temples, proud palm trees, haunting hieroglyphs, and of course, the life-giving Nile River are all subjects in my latest collection. As an aside, many of you have asked me if I sell prints of my photos, and yes, I do! The demand is becoming great enough that I'm seriously considering redesigning the site to accommodate a section for photography.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. Oh. They're on there somewhere.
I mean, do you really think we're not going to read that stuff?
Well, it's the internet. We're going to find out.
But the voiceover guy said it was blogs
face,
from your favorite team. That blog has nothing to do with this team.
I know, but you do. By
seriously,
extension. I mean, yes. Whether it's this blog reading by Dan Tugender or some other way, we know we're going to work it into the show.
No, for other blogs on your favorite team.
Right. Oh. I mean, what's going on over there? That's
you should do infomercial.
Yeah, that's
because you're like
stuff.
The guy saying, now we can't keep this deal up all day.
There's only 10 seconds left. We only have five left.
Did you do pipeline? Was that the word?
What, do you got an assembly line going?
Yeah. Towering temples.
You're hiring people now?
Where does this pipeline lead to?
Haunting hieroglyphs.
I don't know. I got to find another way to make money here now that we're going to get our taxes.
You're doing
hike.
Better that's business than Thomas Kincaid. You
know? Thomas Kincaid.
Is he a real guy?
Yeah.
Is he alive?
I don't know.
What a business he had.
Those are always at, like, Holiday Inns.
Well, they're also in malls, or they were in malls. They had
but
Thomas
like,
Kincaid
oh,
stores.
Oh, like in the middle
he
of
painted
the...
them all, or they're all reproductions?
Yeah.
No, they had actual
probably
stores.
Reproduced.
They're reproductions, but
reproductions?
Yeah,
he
painted
them.
Nice.
He paints
I mean,
the original
paintings, and
then
they make reproductions.
The minute he paints it, they just start mass-producing
it. Was he that good?
They did a 60-minute thing
popular,
on him.
Yeah.
Well, he can be popular not good, though.
No, he's not
good. No, he was good.
He's not good.
It's realism.
It's realism. Well, it's all houses and streams and forests.
There's a market for it.
It's realism. It's houses.
Oh,
what do you expect? It's a house. It's real.
Well, no, realism in terms of the style of painting.
No, I know,
yeah.
But
not
yeah.
The subject.
I know. But.
Okay.
No, it's really trashy.
What? Well, yeah, I don't have any hanging
it's not
in my
Fred's
house.
High class
I mean,
art.
It's
what's
one,
hanging
it's
on your
one
walls?
Step above the velvet picture of the dogs playing pool.
I like those. what do you got hanging in your house?
What?
Mr. Art.
When I'm wearing, not wearing clothes a lot.
What the hell are you talking about?
Oh, God.
He makes no sense.
Oh, I get it.
What do you have hanging in your house?
Yes, I know. And it's not funny.
He's cracking himself up, though.
He really is.
Freddie.
What?
12:47.
What about it?
Tomorrow.
The Qdoba question of the week, day, time.
The Qdoba question of the day, week. No, weekday.
Time.
Will be tomorrow at 12:47. So if you're listening tonight on the podcast, that's when you call in. The winner of the question, and the question is always based on something that happened on Tuesday and Wednesday in the show. The first person who gets it right gets a 20-person buffet courtesy of Qdoba. You can pick it up at any participating Massachusetts Qdoba store.
And the first person who calls usually gets it right, so you better
yeah,
be quick
so
on
you
the
better
good streak here, right?
So
3 in 12, a row.
12:47 p.m.
And don't try to cheat. Some of those people try to call in at like 12:44.
Well, Gary takes care of them.
Yeah.
Gary takes care of them. Like he hangs cheaters. Up the phone on them.
Yeah.
But who's got the question? Do you have the question?
No, we can't read the question.
No,
I know we can't read it. But have we decided what it is yet?
Yes.
We have a list.
We have a list.
Okay.
You will not have any access to it.
Yeah, you're not allowed to come anywhere.
I usually say give the answer away during the show anyway.
Right, that's the point. That's why you have nothing to do with it.
No, you know, Unknowingly, I do it.
Unwittingly. You do a lot of things unwittingly.
So are we making a calendar?
I can mention a hire that I did.
The fireman calendar?
We don't mention that name on this show anymore.
No, I'm talking about you.
So you have a track record. Yeah, so our calendar's coming together nicely.
How many do we got? How many months?
And strippers, we can't accept these.
Yeah, not professionals.
This is an amateur calendar.
Right, exactly. Well,
these are people that are actually listeners.
Exactly.
You have to be a listener. Lori, maybe, if we need a filler.
Well, she's part of it.
All right, so we have at least three that I know.
I barely know her.
Four?
Christina's a professional.
Yes.
Okay, three then.
Hi, I'm Tara.
We have three.
Tara.
Four?
I don't think this has been brought up to Tara.
I don't think she's going to be down for this, Fred.
Call me crazy. We have Hot Amy. We have Emily. And Lori?
Hot Emily, who can cook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
She can do hers in the kitchen.
Christy in D.C.?
Yes, Christy in D.C.
Okay, so that's rack. That's four if we count Lori.
Lori and Christy.
Yeah.
So that's four.
I mean, four.
Christina.
Christina, that's five.
Well, good things take time. We're just going to have to wait.
Okay.
Well, Fred has a way with Christy. Hey. And Peppa.
Oh, we've seen Peppa?
Yeah, Peppa.
We have photos of Peppa.
We got half the year already.
You could double up, too.
Right.
You have to.
Worst, we have...
Oh, like two different shots?
Sure, why not?
All right.
Now, is this going to go, like, theme-wise? Like, will there be a Christmas feel to the December
there
version?
There should. Yeah, there should, right?
I don't know if we can.
Are we going to bring them all in for a photo shoot?
Or yes.
No,
we'll go to the Dominican.
Like
they do with the cheerleader calendar.
Yeah.
Get some wagon ruts in there.
It's all right now. Come on.
You know.
Gary, what are you flipping through in there?
Some pornographic.
Oh, that was what... Remember when those twins were big? They are just falling off the
those
map.
Those are Coors Light twins?
That just proves if you really sell yourself out, you got no chance. I mean, you got a chance with me if Gary's you walk into my room.
Gary's holding up a picture. It's from 10 years ago, though.
No.
They
remember when
hot.
They were hot, the Coors Light twins?
Yeah,
Coors
I remember
Light
them.
Twins?
Coors Light
were?
Twins.
That put them on the map, and then they kind of petered out.
Yeah,
petered out.
So to speak.
So did Andy.
Yo, I'm Diane, and this is Elaine. We're the twins, and you're listening to Patriots.com Radio.
In stereo. Nice.
Yeah. They were actually in Gary's studio.
All four of them. Two of them.
Yeah.
Four. Pay good money for those, Gary? Did they? Were those bought and paid for?
The twins. Did they pay for the twins?
The twins.
No, I think they're natural.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
I don't think that's accurate.
John Rhode Island on the phone.
Oh, Gary.
Speaking of all natural, John, how you doing?
Talking. Potty mouth.
But we digress.
Potty mouth.
Hey, John, you actually going to be in studio this week? You've left me hanging the last 2 weeks.
That was the one thing that Gary said to me yesterday. So, Eric, yes, I will be back this week.
All right.
Happy
the other thing
you.
I said was don't swear.
And you said the bad word.
Fred, you're a bad influence.
We figured you were just going for the ratings.
No, you're just a bad, bad, bad influence.
Yeah, but we're
amateurs.
You're
a bad, bad man.
You're supposed to be a professional.
You're a professional, John.
That's true.
What happened?
Can you tell us again what you said?
No, I didn't.
No,
yes,
you.
As a matter of fact, I forgot. What did I say, Gary?
That really bothers me that some ass. And I'll say it.
You just
I was having a little fun with our mutual friend strippers, and it just kind of slipped out.
Well, we just figured that all the stress over the weekend, you know, that big Texas loss got to you.
Yeah, it was big. That was a hell of a
game. I'm mad.
You can't say it, though. I don't care if you're mad.
No, it was a great game.
It was an unbelievable finish, and I knew when that kid Blake Gideon, the freshman safety, dropped that interception, and I said they're going to score on the next play. Sure enough, they did. So Texas Tech's going to have their hands full this week with Oklahoma State. So
yeah, okay,
that ought to be a lot of fun.
All right, well, John, you're coming up next on Patriots.com Radio with Patriots Playbook. Anything you want to tell us about the show?
I probably will find out more about the show as soon as we're done here.
Well, Gary's lined up a whole list of guests, right, Gary?
I have to tell, you know.
Mike Parenti.
Yes, I have to tell
Mike
Parenti.
That's Parenti. Your C-list celebrity right
I hear
there.
Mike is a whole different personality when he's on your show.
Mike is a veritable knowledge bank himself.
Like I said, a whole different personality.
That's funny. He saves it all for that show, apparently.
That's right.
Well, that's as well he should, right?
All right. Well, that's going to be it for us. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Picks Day. It's Qdoba Question of the Week Day. Big day tomorrow. And right now, stay tuned for John Rook.